play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks girls basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. By Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street. By Thorne's Pets and Supplies. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Tom Meredith and Eric Gibson with GHS Girls Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14.
Streaks in their home white, trimmed in silver and black. They bring out Sadie Hamilton, Allison Mangieri, Paige Klink, Myra Diggins and Jessica Lieber. Streaks win the tip, but the ball stolen away by Morton and a shot up and no good by Courtney Allenbaum, one of the Morton starters at 5'10 and a senior. Aaron Tisdale, a 5'10 senior guard. Lexi Ellis, a 5'7 senior. Kate Byrne, a 5'11 sophomore. And Sarah Livingston, a 6'1 junior. Of course, the sister of former Peoria Central star and now NBA player for the Bucks, Sean Livingston.
Tom, I know you were adjusting levels. You didn't see. Actually, Morton won the tip. Sadie stole the ball, and then Paige turned it over to Allenbaugh. When the shot went up by Allenbaugh, she went to try to get the rebound. Paige rebounded it, and Allenbaugh got called for a foul. Right there, we're going to get a turnover on Paige. She tried to drive the baseline, got bumped a little bit by Allenbaugh and went out of bounds.
Full court pressure from the Streaks, and it comes to Tisdale, and this is what we talked about with Coach Massey, the length of this team, those 5'10 perimeter players for Morton. Down on the right block, wide open is Livingston, and she lays it up and in. First basket of the ball game. Morton leads 2-0, 7:17 to play here in the first quarter.
Page out of Sadie's book right there. She drove the, took the defense to her, and then dropped it off to Livingston. An easy little jump shot for Livingston. She was able to drop to put it in. Sadie did a good job sucking up, but somebody's got to come up and take a weak side block.
Jessica Lieber drove the right baseline, went up, and the shot was blocked by Kate Byrne, and the jump ball was called. The possession arrow points toward the Streaks. Rainey Sibley to inbound for the Streaks. She's in with Casey Williams, Sharon Diggins, Chloe Anderson, and Jessica Lieber. Jessica Lieber out high on the right side, brings it out between the circles. Now gives to Casey Williams, back out high right to Chloe Anderson. Give and go to Casey Williams, lays it up right side on the feed from Jessica Lieber, can't hit. Rainey Sibley with a rebound. Out to Sharon Diggins. Three-pointer is up and no good. Rebound comes down to Morton, and Livingston all alone down in the front court. Runs it down behind the back dribble as the Streaks close out. Gets it down on the right block to Byrne. She lays it up and in.
Well, we know that the length and athleticism of this Morton team can give the Streaks some problems, but they're going to have to hit some shots just like they did against Centennial, and that's really what got the Streaks going against Centennial was the fact that actually Paige Klink went on a little bit of a run and opened things up.
Now another Streaks turnover as Allenbaugh steals it away. Long down court pass goes to Lexi Ellis. She stops, puts it up off the glass too hard. Rebound tipped up by Casey Williams. Sharon Diggins comes down with it for the Streaks. Gives way to Jessica Lieber. She'll bring it across midcourt, right of the center circle. Out high left side, it goes to Casey Williams. Casey nearly travels with it. Now puts it on the floor and nearly traveled again. Now the ball is tipped away and stolen by Allenbaugh. We're going to have a tie-up, and it's going to go back to the Morton Potters.
Well, a good thing right there, Casey didn't get called for a foul, because I think she could have easily been called for a foul. That ball was stripped out of there. She then went to the ground with Allenbaugh and reached over the top, wasn't even holding the ball, and got the jump ball call.
Sadie Hamilton, Myra Diggins, Allison Mangieri back in. Sharon Diggins stays on the floor. Hannah Smith checks in for the first time this afternoon. Rebound or inbound comes to Byrne. Gives to Livingston. Drives down the right side. Knocked away by Hannah Smith. Nice play by Hannah. It looked like Livingston actually, rather than go up for the shot, she's going to try to make the pass to the left.
Well, the other thing is I thought Hannah hit that pretty early. It looked like it was still on the fingertips of Livingston before it went out of bounds. That probably should have gone back to the Streaks.
Byrne inbounds over the top. Tried to get to Livingston. Knocked away. Byrne gets it back right baseline. Five-footer is way too hard. May have been partially blocked, but the weak side rebound comes down to Allenbaugh. Out high right side, it goes to Ellis. Right wing goes to Byrne. Hannah Smith knocks it away. Picked up by Myra Diggins. They're going to say the ball landed out of bounds, but hey, they're going to give it back to Morton, and I'm not sure, because the Morton player, who was also reaching for it, I think may have been close to laying out of bounds, and that's what the Streaks bench was arguing. Inbound comes to Livingston. Drives right baseline. Lays it up too hard. Gets her own rebound. Puts it up and got it. Oh, and a late foul call. I mean, the ball had already gone through the basket. I'm not sure how you make that one. It would look like it was a clean shot and nobody fouled her, but Myra Diggins got called for a foul on that one.
Well, but that goes to show the Streaks need to box out right there. Livingston missed her shot. She was able to stay with it because nobody from the Streaks stepped up and boxed out, and this is the kind of pace that we saw in the first or the meeting against these two teams last year, and it does not favor the Streaks. Ooh, Hannah Smith just got away with a blatant travel.
Now the Streaks turn it over again. Ball gets knocked away from Sadie Hamilton from behind as Livingston converted the free throw. Morton leads 7-0. Right wing, this is Lexi Ellis. Swing it over to the left wing to Tisdale. Inside it goes to Allen Ball. Back out to Ellis. Right wing, it goes to Livingston outside the three-point arc. Livingston puts it on the floor. Now picks up, gives it the free throw line to Tisdale. Then it goes to Allen Ball. She puts it up, can't hit, but another foul against the Streaks. And I think this one is against Myra again. Okay, no, you're right.
No, Sadie.
Hamilton picks up her first, second team foul on the Streaks. 5:22 to play first quarter. Streaks trail 7-0.
Coach Massey not happy at all. He's trying to talk to the five that are sitting at the scorer's table right now, telling them, hey, we got to quit turning the ball over. When the Streaks turn the ball over, this Morton team's going to push the tempo, and they're going to get back. And what happens when you turn it over at the top of the key, as we kind of talked about in the Centennial game, you end up turning the table, and it becomes a 3-on-1, 4-on-2, and that does not favor the defense, and that's what we've seen a couple times now already in this game.
First free throw for Allen Ball, up and good. Second one up and good as well. So Morton perfect from the line. They missed a couple of shots, but lead 8-0. Jessica Lieber back in. Emma Junk, Paige Klink, Chloe Anderson, who has it on the left wing. Out high left side to Emma Junk. Out between the circles, Jessica Lieber. Rainey Sibley now with it, left wing. She's in there as well. Left wing, it goes now to Paige Klink. Picks up, and a push call is going to go...
It's going to go against Tisdale. She ran over Rainey. Okay. Rainey tried to set the screen there. Tisdale just running through, trying to stay with Paige, ran right through Rainey, and Rainey doesn't have much of a chance there. She's so much smaller than Tisdale.
First team foul on the Potters. 5:06 to play first quarter. Streaks trail 9-0. Right wing, Paige Klink fires a three. Off the mark with that one. She had a really good game yesterday with 14 points. In fact, she hit 4 3-pointers in the game. She got the Streaks going early on. Hopefully she'll be able to do that now as Morton turns it over. It was Byrne losing the handle on it on the near sideline, so the Streaks will have it near midcourt.
One of the things, Tom, that Coach Becker talked to you about that concerned him was the Streaks' ability to get to the rim this year compared to last year. We haven't really even seen that. We've seen Jessica go in once, but other than that, we haven't really seen the Streaks try to take advantage of driving to the middle of the lane.
And that one time Jessica went in, the shot got blocked. Rainey Sibley, they close up. She can't get the three. Then they open back up, and she didn't see it and didn't take the shot. Now Paige Klink shoots the three, and it gets blocked. Rebound comes down to Carly Crocker, who is in for Morton. Crocker, a 5'8 senior guard for the Potters in the backcourt. Tisdale on the dribble, trapped up, gets it to Crocker. She gets it across midcourt in the center circle. Morton with numbers. Look underneath to Livingston running the floor. She lays it up and in. She's got 7, make it 11-0 Potters.
I'm surprised we didn't see a timeout there from Coach Massey. The Streaks just look a little discombobulated at this point, and it's now, again, Paige is going to get, or Jessica's going to get tied up. The Streaks just aren't paying attention. They're not playing with any sense of urgency. Every time down the floor, they're just kind of lackadaisical. And what Morton's doing is they're being the aggressor, going after the ball. They're tying the ball up, and now we're going to finally see a timeout from the Streaks.
Yeah, Coach Massey calls a 30-second timeout. Yeah, they're not protecting the ball. They're picking up their dribble too early for one, and then after doing that, not in the ball, just kind of holding it out there, and Morton's being, like you said, very aggressive, reaching in, and you're not going to get a call for fouls when the offense isn't protecting the ball.
No, well, and the other thing is the Streaks are trying to run their offense, and Morton's overplaying it. Morton knows what offensive sets are. They've seen it. They've seen it for years. And, you know, there's not a lot of variation between the offenses, especially the last couple of years. And that's what we're seeing here. The Morton's just overplaying all the passing lanes and all the handoffs the Streaks never normally try to play. So what needs to happen is the Streaks need to run some backdoor cuts. They need to run some dribble drives to try to kick and open people up. And I'd almost be tempted to get Sadie back on the floor and have her start working off the top of the key and dumping down.
Danny Teal in there with Myra Diggins, Sharon Diggins, Casey Williams, and Hannah Smith. Casey Williams out between the circles, dribbles left, and there's a bump call.
Well, and that's what's going to happen.
Don't like it, but that's a good call.
Yeah, and that's what Hannah needs to do. Hannah decided she was going to try to take it in, and it was Ellis trying to cut her off, but she can't impede the progress of the dribbler, and that's what she did right there. She's either got to get set and take a charge or get out of the way.
And left baseline, Danny Teal drives in, loses the handle on it. Ball goes to the floor. Another tie-up, and the possession arrow again points toward the Morton Potters.
That's 6 turnovers out for the Streaks in only 4 minutes of play.
Allison Mangieri in replacing Danny Teal. Streaks will pick up with full court pressure. 4:05 to play first quarter. Streaks trailing 11-0. And you don't want to have a double-digit deficit against a team this good, even though it's very early. Inbound knocked away by, well, actually it went off the hands of Ellis, and the Streaks will get it back.
Well, you know, I'm assuming that eventually the Streaks are going to get things rolling here, but this is exactly how last year's game went. It just looked like the Streaks were overpowered the whole way. And, you know, like we talked about, I don't think this team is more athletic than Centennial. I don't think they're better at executing, but for whatever reason, the Streaks just have a lot of problems with this team.
Now Jessica Lieber gets called for the travel, got kind of stopped up in the middle of a trap, and they say she pulled the pivot foot up, and she was kind of losing control of the ball as she stopped as well.
Well, and this team gives the Streaks similar problems to, like, Rocky and Moline in that they're very aggressive defensively, and the defensive intensity is very strong in that they get it in the Streaks shorts a lot.
Well, Crocker traveled with the ball, but they didn't call a jump ball call as she tried to put the shot up, and the Streaks would get it back anyway.
Well, the Potter faithful right there wanted a bump on Jessica. They were going down the floor, but it looks like the refs are going to let a lot of that bumping go, especially on the dribbler.
And that was a problem we had with this team last year. It was very aggressive. Three-pointer, top of the key, Sharon Diggins bounces off, no good. Casey Williams grabs a rebound, tried to get to Myra down on the block, but it's stolen away by Livingston. Wraparound pass to Ellis. Ellis running down the right side, beats the Streaks back, lays it up, too far under, no good, but a foul is going to be called. I think it's going to go against Jessica Lieber. That's who the official's looking at. So it does go against Jessica Lieber. That is her first third team foul on the Galesburg Silver Streaks.
Streaks still have yet to score. They're down 11-0, 3:26 left to go here in the opening period.
Lexi Ellis at the line, two shots. First one is up and good. They are 4-for-4 from the free throw line. Ellis, a 5'7 senior guard, shortest starter for the Potters.
Well, this Morton team's always been well coached, and execution has been one of their hallmarks. And this Morton team is what Allman would be if Allman had more athletes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Second shot up and good as well for Ellis, as they've got a couple of substitutes. Crocker back in, also in for the first time. Abby Cox, a 5'8 sophomore, replacing Livingston. Sadie Hamilton drives down the right side. Tried to get
kicked.
The pass across to Chloe Anderson. You're right, it was kicked away. The ball's going to go back for the Streaks, but the official didn't call the kick.
Well, usually you don't call if it's an unintentional, but I thought she put her foot out there to try to kick it, so.
Allison Mangieri to inbound, gets it into Chloe Anderson on the near sideline, gives to Jessica Lieber out on the left side near midcourt. Now between the circles and hands off to Sadie Hamilton, up back to Jessica Lieber on the right wing. Jessica on the dribble, top of the key, Paige Clink. Paige dribbles right, back to Jessica Lieber on the wing. Drives into the baseline, yep, she travels with it, tried to stop, got off balance on the stop again, drug the pivot foot, and the Streaks turn it over with 3 minutes to play, still trailing 13.
When you break out your heaviest coat this winter and check the pockets, you might find an old chapstick, maybe a long-lost mitten, or an old grocery list, a few cents if you're lucky, or even an old WGIL button. Which reminds me, this year's button is orange. Is it on your coat? Because if you're spotted wearing the new orange WGIL button, you could win up to $500. And that's probably more than you just found in your coat pocket.
Pick up your orange button today at Galesburg Toyota in front of the Sandburg Mall on North Henderson. Details at WGIL.com.
Each of us had that one teacher we'll never forget. Since 1853, the Illinois Education Association, IEA, has been the voice for those teachers, a catalyst for many of the reforms that help our kids succeed. IEA understands that good teaching conditions make good learning conditions. So we fight for school funding, smaller class sizes, and to hold administrators and politicians accountable for their actions. This message is brought to you by the Illinois Education Association.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
When winter weather hits, count on the WGIL Morning News to bring you the latest in school cancellations, keeping you informed 24 hours a day. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Back here at Memorial Gym at Knox College, 150 to play. Streaks finally get on the board. Apologize for the technical issue. The Streaks now trail 17-2. And now we've got a foul call down on the low block. The foul goes against Erin Tisdale. That's her second foul. 14 fouls now on the Potters. 1:47 to play. And I missed who scored our basket for us. They're trying to get things adjusted here. Back in for the streak, Allison Mangieri, Paige Clink, Jessica Lieber, Chloe Anderson, Sadie Hamblin, Jessica Lieber on the right wing with it.
Since we had the breakup, Allen Ball had scored 4 points, and Shron Diggins added a basket of her own on a rebound. The streak's still struggling to get their offense moving.
So 17-2, now the ball gets knocked away, and the streaks will get it back on their own right sideline. Allison Mangieri will inbound.
Hey, Tom, I don't know if when you were playing high school basketball, you guys ever ran the drills where you tried to run your offense against six or seven defenders. That's what it looks like right now, that the streaks just are outmanned on the floor.
That's what it looks like. And one game like that, played against a team my junior year, Kewanee Weathersfield, it felt like there were nine guys out there we were playing. You couldn't get it across midcourt. But, yeah, that's really what it looks like the streaks are playing against, as well as this 14 defense. Sadie Hamilton between the circles, dribbles right, carried the ball, and now gets down on the block, puts it up off the glass, can't hit over the outstretched arms of Allenbaugh. Long downfield pass after the rebound goes to Allenbaugh. Now it's Crocker, drives into the paint, gets knocked away by Paige Clink. Jessica Lieber comes up with it. Back to Paige Clink, across midcourt right side. Paige stops on the right wing, gives it to Jessica Lieber. Clink gets to the left wing to Allison Mangieri. She'll drive in, pulls up with a 10-footer, it's blocked by Kate Byrne. And Crocker down with a rebound. Now it's Livingston with it. Stops on the right wing. Out between the circles goes to Byrne. Left wing. This is Cox. Back out near midcourt. It goes to Byrne. Byrne in the center circle. And she just threw that ball away as Cox was not able to get to it. And the Streaks get it back on a Morton turnover with 49.1 seconds to play in the half.
And on that last possession, Allison Mangieri should have taken that three, but she decided to take it in, which has worked in the past but didn't work right there. She needs to understand that with how athletic they are inside and how much taller they are than the Streaks, you've got to take the open shots when you can get them.
Streaks turn it over again, 42.9 seconds to play.
A little technical help here from Rakeith. Hopefully we can get you a clear signal here in just a second as Morton brings out the floor, but then Ellis throws it away. She tried to hit Livingston cutting to the basket. That's seven turnovers now on the Potters.
Oh, now we're fine. All of a sudden. I'm not sure. Rick Heath is a magician, that's why. Streaks get it back, 28.2 to play. Shron Diggins drives into the paint. Runner up and no good, but the foul's going to go against
Abby Cox.
Cox gets the call. She and Livingston were both right there, but Cox with the foul. So Shron Diggins goes to the free throw line with two shots.
I think we just need Rick to sit there the whole time during the game. I think he's our antenna right now.
Shron Diggins hits the first free throw and make it 17-3, 25.6 seconds to play here in the first quarter. Shron Diggins eyes the second. Streaks trail 17-3. And the second one is up. That one is good as well. Shron with all four Streaks points. Full court pressure. Inbound comes to Byrne. Byrne across midcourt on the left side. Trapped up ball knocked away by Myra Diggins, but it falls out of bounds. Myra not able to run it down. Good hustle by the Streaks, but Morton gets it back. Streaks being a little bit more aggressive defensively now.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is they're able to set up their defense after they make a basket, and that's, I think, the ultimate issue.
And it comes to Ellis, and she overthrows Byrne down on the left side. Just several unforced errors by Morton for their turnovers.
Well, all of a sudden, they were killing in the turnover battle between the two teams. Now they're up to eight after they make a couple unforced in a row.
15.9 seconds to play in the quarter. Jessica Lieber will bring it across right of the center circle. Now with 12 seconds to play, picks up her dribble and gets hit across the arms. No call. Now looking for help. Finally gets to Shron Diggins. Drives right baseline. Leans in. Shot blocked by Livingston. Livingston gets called for the foul. The official wasn't in a good position to call that one. She may have had the lower hand on Sharon's back. I don't know. Otherwise, it was a clean.
No, I think it was a clean block. But realistically, the foul should have been called initially out top.
Yeah.
And it wasn't called. And so I think what happens is the baseline official sees that and then waits till it come his way. And then, it's kind of a makeup call, if you will.
So Shron back to the free throw line, makes the first.
Well, if it weren't for Shron, the Streaks would be in a lot of trouble right now.
Yeah, she's got all five of the Streaks points. So now 17-5, 5.2 seconds to play in the quarter. That was the first foul on Sarah Livingston. Second shot for Sharon Diggins is up, and that one is good as well. So Sharon, a basket, 4-for-4 from line, and make it 17-6 as Chloe Anderson will replace Myra Diggins.
I think Chloe gives the Streaks a little bit more speed than Myra does. I think Myra's better at playing the passing lanes, but ultimately Chloe's a little taller and also gives the Streaks a little bit more speed.
Inbound nearly knocked away by Rainey Sealy. Now it's a steal by Sharon Diggins up off the glass. Can't hit. The ball gets knocked away. We might get a foul on Byrne on that shot. There was more contact on that shot than there was by the one Livingston called, but the Streaks are going to get it back as Byrne knocked it out of bounds. 0.4 seconds to play. Streaks only have time for pretty much a very quick catch and shooter.
Yeah, you got to heave here.
And the ball gets knocked away, and the time's going to run out. So we have played one quarter of basketball. It is Morton 17, Galesburg 6. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Life is busy, and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, errands, and deadlines. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. I'm Mike Craddy. I'll take the time to find affordable auto, home, and business insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call me or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
The challenge. See who can find the greatest number of new items at Thorne's. This week, I won. I spotted Wiggles, Wags, and Whiskers brand leashes and collars right off the bat. And the ones from Premium Tough Lock. My person likes them because they're made in the USA and have a lifetime guarantee. I like them because they make me look cool. My final new item of the day, Jelly Bean Rugs. They're machine washable and super cool. I cannot wait till our next trip. I just love new things.
Thorne's Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
The Handyman Show with Glenn Hagee, Saturday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
One quarter of basketball in the books. It was all Morton Potters in that first quarter as they lead the Streaks 17-6. Sharon Diggins with all the Streaks points on a basket and 4-for-4 from the free throw line. But the Streaks, like you said, Eric, once they start scoring some points, they get to get into their defensive sets, and they're being a little bit more aggressive now.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, it's not that we haven't seen these Streaks go on a run at all this year either. So it's very possible that the Streaks can go on a run and get this thing right back to a single digit, if not a tie ball game.
Livingston 10-footer in the paint is no good. Paige Flink with a rebound, but it gets knocked away. A tie-up, and Jessica Lieber and Byrne tied up. I thought there should have been an over and back out there. I guess it was Byrne that was out near midcourt. It looked like she dribbled the ball into the backcourt.
Well, yeah, she dribbled it right on the line, but I don't think the official was even watching. He was watching ahead of the play because her feet were still on the Morton side of the half-court line. So, but yeah, she dribbled it square on the line.
Streaks get it back on the alternate possession, and it'll be Sadie Hamilton, Jessica Lieber, Paige Klink, Allison Mangieri, and Myra Diggins for the Streaks. 7:42 to play first half. Streaks trail 17-6. Galesburg High boys back in action again later today as Myra Diggins lost the handle on it, stolen away. Livingston has a carry on the dribble, and that's why it bothers me when the officials call the carry, because they don't call it all the time, and that was an obvious carry, and she dribbles that way every time. Now another unforced turnover by Morton as Ellis just overthrew Tisdale on the sideline.
Well, the Streaks have to be kicking themselves right now, because Morton in the last 5-6 minutes of this ball game has given the Streaks plenty of opportunities to go on a run, and they've only been able to muster 6 points. They need to start coming down and get some points here to make up for all these turnovers they're getting, because those are unforced turnovers that Morton's committing.
Casey Williams, 5-footer, is up and no good, partially blocked. Rebound comes down to Crocker, and she gets tied up. Oh boy, foul's going to be called on Casey Williams. The Streaks now with Casey Williams, Sharon Diggins, Rainey Sibley, Chloe Anderson, and Jessica Lieber. First foul of the ball game on Casey Williams. 14 fouls now on the Streaks.
I was watching Livingston during the pregame. She was out there shooting some threes. We've seen her handling the ball a little bit. I think Coach Becker's really trying to round out her game and polish it up so that she can play more of a small forward role at the next level if she decides to go that way.
Yeah, and just a junior is Livingston. Left baseline, this is Crocker. Now at high left side, it goes to Tisdale. Back to Crocker on the baseline. Wide open under the basket. Right side is Emily Schultz, a 5'7 sophomore, to the game, and she lays it up and in. Make it 19-6 Potters. Right wing, it is Sharon Diggins. Ball knocked away by Crocker. And the Streaks will have it on the far sideline as Myra Diggins, Sadie Hamilton, Allison Mangieri, and Hannah Smith check back in. And Sharon Diggins will stay on the floor with that group.
the Streaks have yet to have a possession where they've been able to come down and just get the ball reversed around without the Morton Potters getting their hands on it. So the Streaks have got to figure out a way to start running this offense.
Sharon Diggins drives in, kicks out to Allison Mangieri on the right wing. Good thought there, but Morton able to close out defensively on Allison. As Hannah Smith now out between the circles with it. Left wing goes to Allison Mangieri. Now it's Sadie Hamilton out high on the left side. Now the ball knocked away by Crocker into the backcourt, and it's going to go back to the Streaks. And they'll bring it from three-quarter court. 6:21 to play here in the first half. Streaks trailing 19-6. Hannah Smith will bring it across. Working against Byrne. Gets it on the right wing to Myra Diggins. Now to Sadie Hamilton on high right side to Hannah Smith, top of the key. Hannah looks over the defense. Right wing to Sharon Diggins. Wide open three for Sharon. Is it back in? Sharon Diggins with all nine of the Streaks points. They now trail by 10, 19-9. 6 minutes to play here in the first half. Crocker drives left baseline, dribbled it off her foot, and the Streaks get it back and can cut it to a single-digit lead.
Well, I don't know how Coach Manson could take Sharon out right now. She's the only offensive production he has. And here's a timeout for Coach Becker from Morton.
Yeah, 30-second timeout by Morton. 5:59 to play first half, and the Streaks trail 19-9. The Galesburg High boys fell to Elmhurst York earlier today, 57-37. One of the quickest basketball games on record, I think. It only took about an hour for that game to get completed, but they'll be back in action tonight. Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee will have it for you here on WGIL. And WGIL.com. 5:40 for the pregame and a 6 o'clock tip-off with Brad and Jim tonight as the Streaks will take on the K's from Kankakee. You didn't need to hear me anyway, did you?
All I'm asking for, Tom, is just for a little bit to be able to hear you without having to hold the plug-in.
Streaks will have the basketball. They come out with Casey Williams, Jessica Lieber, Rainey Sibley, Paige Klink, and Chloe Anderson, trailing 19-9. Jessica Lieber brings it across midcourt right side to Chloe Anderson on the right wing. Out high right side to Casey Williams. Now to Jessica Lieber between the circles. She'll dribble right. Goes right wing to Paige Klink. Paige goes to the baseline. Kicks back out to Jessica Lieber on the wing. And she'll bring it back out high on the right side. Still on the dribble. And that's something we need to see. Fortunately, not picking up the dribble there. And something the Streaks doing. Give and go. Jessica Lieber to Casey Williams. Lays it up. Comes up short on it, though.
You can't miss that, Tom. That was wide open for Casey. And we've seen her time and again miss those bunnies. And now, granted, just a freshman, but look at the transition there. They get the ball right back down quickly off the break and get it to Livingston for an easy two.
Make it 21-9 now. Streaks trail by 12. Had a chance to cut it to single digits. Now Casey Williams on the right wing gets tied up. Ball goes to the floor. Comes loose. And now it is Byrne that has it. Long down court pass knocked away at midcourt by Chloe Anderson. Then she gets fouled. Reaching in was Emily Schultz. That'll be her first foul. And now 17th foul. So the one thing, the Streaks are going to get to the free throw line the rest of the half.
Well, and that was just a frustration foul there on Schultz, because what happened was she got that ball stolen from her. She knew it. She tried to make up for it. But, you know, you're up 12. You don't want to be going over the back and letting the Streaks get some easy shots here without your defense involved.
So Chloe Anderson at the line with a chance of the one and bonus. 5:06 to play in the half. Streaks trail 21-9. First shot is up, and it is good. She will get the bonus. In for the Streaks, Sadie Hamilton, Hannah Smith, Sharon Diggins, and Danny Teal. Myra Diggins ways to replace Chloe Anderson. Back in for Morton is Courtney Allenbaugh. She replaces Aaron Tisdale. 21-10, Streaks trail. Second shot for Chloe Anderson up. That one is good as well, and she'll be replaced by Myra Diggins. So the Streaks 6-for-6 from the line, but just 2 field goals, a 3 and a 2 from Sharon Diggins, and Sharon had all the points until Chloe Anderson just scored.
Well, Chloe is looking a little bit better at the free throw line. Early in the season, she looked a little too quick with her shot. She took her time there, got a nice arc on it, and was able to drop both of them through.
Schultz gets it across midcourt, knocked away by Myra Diggins. Now we're going to have a tie-up at midcourt. Nice hustle by Myra, and unfortunately, possession arrow pointing toward the Morton Potters.
Well, nice hustle by the Streaks as a whole. Once the Streaks identified the fact that that ball went on the ground, 3 players came flying over to try to get to that basketball. Like you said, unfortunately it was a tie-up, which goes back to Morton, but still a good job by the Streaks overall.
Another carry. Every time Livingston dribbles the ball, she carries. They haven't called it once. Left wing, it goes to Schultz. He'll drive baseline, gets tripped up by Danny Teal, and that'll be the first foul on Danny, and five team fouls now on the Streaks.
Well, that's one of the perils of the way Danny plays defense. She's an all-out defender. She comes flying out at you.
Yep.
She doesn't sit back on her heels, and sometimes she's going to get herself over-pursuing, and that was a good job by Byrne right there to identify the fact that Danny came too far out on her.
Byrne inbounds to Schultz to Livingston, right baseline, drives in, kicks out to Byrne. Now at high to Schultz, left side, near steal by Sharon Diggins. Byrne gets it back, goes to the left baseline to Allen Ball. She'll drive in, 10-footer short, blocked by Sadie Hamilton, but Sadie brought that arm down, and I think that's why she got the call.
Yeah,
got
to go straight up and down on that if you're going to not get that call.
So Allen Ball will go to the free throw line with two shots.
Allen Ball is tall enough that she's going to be able to get that shot up and over, so it's not one of those situations where Sadie's going to be able to take it off the fingers.
First free throw up and good. She's got 7 points. She's 3 for 3 from the free throw line. In fact, Morton has not missed from the free throw line either. When was the last time we saw neither a team in the Streaks game miss a free throw with the first half almost complete?
Well, it's been quite some time since we last saw Morton shoot this well. Since one of the young ladies who now plays for Bradley.
Oh, she had that, Bisping. Yeah,
Bisping had a big streak going for quite... Oh, wow. I thought right there, Allen Ball tipped that out. They're going to say no. It went off Sadie, and it's going to be a turnover back to Morton now. Streaks have turned the ball over 13 times.
4:26 to play in the half. Streaks trail 23-11. Back in, Chloe Anderson, Allison Mangieri, Paige Plink, Emma Junk, and Jessica Lieber. In the backcourt, this is Byrne on the dribble. Trapped up, now picks up, gets it to Crocker. Crocker across midcourt, right of the center circle. Gets knocked away from behind by Allison Mangieri. The ball's going to go out of bounds, and Morton will have it back on their own right baseline.
Tom, one of the things Rainey's really good at that you didn't see from Allison right there is coming up from behind and keeping that ball in bounds. Allison came up from behind, just swatted it out of bounds, knocking it away. You'd love to get the possession back for the Streaks right there. So what Allison needs to do is kind of just go in and swat that ball back towards her so she can suck it up.
Now another turnover by the Potters. It's going to get that Streaks ball. Potter, nobody touched it, and the Potters, Lexi Ellis had just blocked Allison Mangieri from being able to grab the ball in the backcourt, and it goes back to the Streaks.
Well, Coach Becker thought that a Streak could touch it, but I agree with you. I don't think they ever did. Oh, wow.
Jessica Lieber got knocked into the backcourt, no foul.
And that's what Coach Massey's saying right now.
Jeez.
He's saying Kate Byrne just ran over Jessica Lieber, no call.
If not a foul, it's got to be Morton Ball because the ball went off of Jessica last. But they gave it back to the Streaks. 4 minutes to play, first half. Jessica Lieber on the dribble out high on the right side. Gives to Chloe Anderson out high right side now. Now she picks up the dribble, gives to Paige Plink at the top of the key. Paige dribbles right, gives to Allison Mangieri on the left wing. She'll drive. Now brings it back up and hands off to Jessica Lieber on the wing. Left side, Jessica leans in and a foul away for the ball.
Well, I can't believe this. It's the official on the farthest side of the floor. The baseline official, the official that was on top of the play, neither of them made the call. It's going to be made by the official who's standing on the far side of the gym. And it's gonna go against Kate Byrne, I think.
I've never seen a foul indication like that. He put his fist up to his neck. I've never seen such a call. I guess it was demonstrating what she did. I didn't see it. Sarcastic cheers from the Streaks fans for the foul call. But Jessica Lieber is going to go to the free throw line. I didn't see what happened. I don't know. And Jess hits the first at the one and bonus. Mega 23-12. Streaks trail 3:45 to play first half. Second shot is in as well. First points of the afternoon for Jessica Lieber. She's replaced by Hannah Smith. Sadie Hamilton, Jerron Diggins, Randy Sibley, Myra Diggins also in for the Streaks.
Well, this is going to be a true test for the Streak team. One of the true tests of a good team is if you dig yourself this big of a hole, can you climb back out of it? And the Streaks are trying slowly, but, you know, they're going to have to go on a run here at some point. You don't want to wait till the fourth quarter because you get yourself in a situation where you're going to run out of time.
Livingston drives in, kicks back out to Allen Ball. Now left wing it goes to baseline. It is Crocker. Crocker goes to the free throw line, gives to Livingston on the right baseline. Nice crossover dribble. Nice dish to the left block to Allen Ball. She lays it up and in.
Well, I'm kind of surprised. We have not seen Livingston take that 12 to 15 foot jumper. I don't know if it's not in her repertoire, but she's had it open a couple times, and each time she's chosen to drive to the lane.
25-13, Morton, 3:05 to play here in the first half. Nice bounce pass from Myra Diggins to Sadie Hamilton. Sadie missed the easy one, but she gets called for going over the back on the rebound.
That's her third, isn't it?
I believe, yeah, that is right. That's the third foul on Sadie Hamilton.
Well, right there, the
foul. Easy, too, and get it in.
And the issue right there was Allen Ball had position. Sadie went up to, Crocker had position. But Sadie has to make that first jumper. She was right there. It was an easy drop step. All she had to do was put it up. She faded away and left it short.
So Crocker will go to the free throw line with her chance at the one and bonus.
She has not taken a shot from the field, but does have four rebounds.
And bounces high, and that one drops through after mounting off the back iron. 26-13, Morton leads. Exactly 3 minutes of play here in the first half.
And they've doubled up the streaks. Biggest lead of the game so far for Morton has been 15 when they last led 17-2.
Second shot up and good as well. So streaks also, both teams perfect from the free throw line, but the streaks with only two field goals in the game. Jessica Lieber drives in right side, lost a handle on it. This is Allen Ball with it. Allen Ball runs down the left side and just lost a handle on it. That's going to be streaks. But wow. I don't think anybody knocked it away from behind. She just lost it out of bounds.
I thought,
that's what Coach Massey's questioning.
I thought Paige got a hand on it.
Okay. I didn't see that. I guess it did come out of there kind of hard. I thought maybe she'd bounce it off her foot. But Morton has it back. It'll be burned inbound on the left baseline. And it comes over the top to Livingston. Nice dish to Allen Ball on the right block, and she puts it up and in.
Well, she is definitely benefiting off every time that Livingston touches the ball because she's finding Allen Ball wide open for some easy little two-point bunny shots.
And she's got 12 points now. Allen Ball does. 29-13, Potters. 2:27 to play. Now streaks turn it over, but Jessica Lieber gets it right back. Now she loses a handle on it. Chloe Anderson saves it out near midcourt. Gets to Casey Williams out high on the left side. Casey on the dribble, top of the key, stops. Had the open three, didn't take it. Now hands off to Chloe Anderson. Now Jessica Lieber on the right wing with it. Brings it out. Streaks just cannot get into any flow offensively against this Morton Potter defense.
Well, the Morton Potter defense is definitely overplaying the streaks, and that's what the issue is. They've got to start opening people up.
Paige Klink, three-pointer for the right baseline is no good. The rebound goes to the floor. Tie-up, and this time the possession arrow points back toward the streaks with 1:56 to play in the half as Myra Diggins, Rainey Sibley, Sharon Diggins, and Hannah Smith check back in. And
Tom, if you watch,
Anderson stays on.
One of the things I think that Coach Massey's going to have to say during the halftime, he's going to have to get in the referee's ear about the Morton Potters going through the screens, because just about every time down the floor, they're pushing their way through the screens, and it's a foul every time. Casey's been hit gone to the floor at least two or three times on it, and it hasn't been called.
Sharon drove right baseline that time, lost a dribble off her foot, so another streaks turnover with 1:50 to play in the half. Now Sharon with a near steal. Should have been a foul. She knocked the ball away. She ran right into Ellis, but the ball's going to go back to Morton.
I think that was close enough to that 50-50 ball that I was okay with the no call, but a good job
by Sharon.
Pretty hard
hit, though. I mean, they were both kind of going toward each other on it. Inbound comes to Allen Ball in the backcourt. Back to Ellis. Ellis on the dribble in the backcourt. Gets it to Allen Ball. She gets it across to Byrne. Byrne, top of the key, drives left side, lays it off to Crocker. She missed the easy two.
That's an over the back.
Over the back, not called on Byrne as she knocked the rebound away from Myra Diggins. Boy, this is also similar into the way last year's game was called or not called. Byrne with it. Out high right side, it goes to Livingston. Her pass, she throws it away, threw it too high, tried to get to Allen Ball down on the low block, but overthrew her, and the streaks get it back on the Morton turnover. And the unfortunate thing is, with all the Morton turnovers, streaks have not been able to take advantage.
Both teams with 16 turnovers. When's the last time you saw the streaks with more turnovers than points?
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, have we ever seen that. Back in, Jessica Lieber, Casey Williams, Paige Klink, Myra Diggins, and Allison Mangieri. 1:20 to play in the half. Streaks trail 29-13. Right baseline, it's Myra Diggins, dribbles out to the wing, now gets to Jessica Lieber out high on the right side. She looks over the defense, gets to Paige Klink on the right wing, stops, step back three is blocked by Crocker. Paige gets it back, though, and they're going to say she stepped on the sideline, though. So the streaks turn it over. I mean, I understand, Morton, every time we're putting up a three, they're jumping out at it, and I guess, why not? Because they're not going to, Sharon's the only one that's done the fake. And
right.
Drive.
Well, and that's exactly right. Paige has got to shot fake. we as part of it have probably pumped her up so much because she shot it so well lately. We even talked to her after last game about the fact she shot it so well. She's got to understand that that shot's not there this game. Oh, there's going to be a foul on Myra.
Yep, Allen Ball got an easy two there, but Myra kind of, I don't know if she got off balance or what, or she was turning to block out. She kind of caught the leg of Allen Ball. She fell back to her left after she hit the shot, and she'll have one shot at it now, a chance at the traditional three-point play. It's a palindrome score, but the streak's on the short end of it for a change. Not something they'd like to see. 31-13 Morton.
Biggest lead of the game for the Potters, now at 19.
As it's 32-13, under a minute to play in the half. Sharon Diggins on the right baseline outside the three-point arc. Fakes, drives in, dribbles.
Ooh, wow.
I'm going to say it went off of
Sharon's foot.
I did, too. I thought Sharon dribbled it off her own foot. They're going to say it went off of Schultz, so the Streaks have it back on their own right baseline. Paige Klink to inbound. 52.8 seconds to play in the half. And it comes to Sharon Diggins, right wing. Now to Chloe Anderson out high on the right side. Gives to Jessica Lieber out near the NCAA logo. She brings it back between the circles. On the dribble, gets a pick from Myra Diggins. Now dribbles right, and Myra nearly could have gotten called for a foul on that pick. Now Myra fires a three top of the key. It's partially blocked. Sharon Diggins down with a rebound. Her short one is no good. Gets her own rebound again. Puts it up. No good. But a foul is going to be called on Schultz. And boy, Chloe Anderson got fouled going after the rebound. Knocked to the floor. But Sharon's going to get to go to the free throw line with two shots. 32.5 to play in the half. 32-13 Morton with the lead over the Streaks. Galesburg with only two field goals, both of those coming from Sharon Diggins, a two in the first quarter and a three in the second quarter.
This is a very unfamiliar situation for this Streak team.
Sharon hits the first free throw.
This may be the most they've been down all year.
Yeah, I think so.
Trying to think. I don't think they've
been. We were down maybe, I know, 15 against at least a couple teams. I don't know if we were down any more than that. Maybe 16 one game.
Yeah, I don't recall.
That Springfield game, maybe we got down at some point. May have only been 14 or 15, though. Second shot up and good for Sharon as well. Now Sharon steals the inbound pass. Gets knocked away by Byrne. Sharon goes to the floor, picks it up, and now we're going to have a tie-up. And unfortunately, again, the possession are toward Morton. See, that's what I hate about the alternate possession rule. You make a great play, and at least with a jump ball, you have a shot at getting it back after you make a good defensive play.
Well, and we've talked before, the NCAA looked at going to the defense wins all of those. And
26 seconds to play. Morton with numbers. This is Schultz across midcourt as Sharon Diggins closes out. I don't know how high on the right side it goes to Ellis. Right wing, this is Allen Ball knocked away.
This should be
by
a streak ball.
Yeah, actually Chloe Anderson got a hand on it, but it went off of Allen Ball last.
A little contact between Chloe and Allen Ball, and no foul called, so it has to go to the Streaks.
If there's no foul, that's Streaks ball because it went off Allen Ball last. 12 seconds to play. Sharon Diggins left baseline, fires a three. It's off the rim, no. Allen Ball down with a rebound. 7 seconds to play. It's Schultz across midcourt right side. Long down court pass to Ellis.
Traveled.
The basket left side. Traveled, no call. Laid it up. Got it, and she's fouled. And Coach Massey saying the same thing. How do you miss that travel before the shot? Unbelievable. So Ellis puts it up and in, and they get 34-15.
And that's a big change in circumstance right there. Momentum could have potentially been going to the Streaks if Sharon could have hit that three, and instead Ellis is going to go to the line, and she's going to miss.
Myra Diggins down with a rebound. We have played one half of basketball, and it has not been a good one for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. At halftime, it is Morton 34, Galesburg 15. We'll come back with our halftime show brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is Healthcare. We'll run down our halftime stats. Also talk about the upcoming schedule, the other scores from this tournament as well. At the half, it is Morton 34, Galesburg 15. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan? Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land. Reed loves sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, Letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering, screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breed Loves for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breed Loves Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything is sports.
Looks like the mailman's here with a great big package. I wonder if that's for Mommy. Did Daddy give Mommy a present? Oh my goodness, that is huge. Ooh, it's kind of heavy, huh? Let's see what we got. A power bill? What the?
Giant power bills are no present. Save money on yours with a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Sharing the family's bathroom is just an annoyance of my past. Now I'm pampered like royalty in the new doggy spa at Thorns. Ear treatment, facial, pedicure, Bobby Panter shampoos make me smell delicious. Followed with a quick blow off with the Metro Force blow dryer. A professional look at a minimal cost. This place rocks.
For just $12, you get full use of the dog wash facilities and supplies. Thorns Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
No matter how hard you try, crooked and crowded teeth are just harder to keep clean, which means over time you're more likely to develop periodontal disease. Prevent it now with a visit to Owen Family Dentistry in Galesburg. A better smile could change your life. Visit OwenFamilyDentistry.com because it's never too late to change your smile.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
WGIL coverage of Silver Streaks girls basketball continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. This is Healthcare.
Back at Memorial Gym at Knox College, Tom Meredith along with Eric Gibson. Well, if I would have told you any other game that the Streaks in the first half forced 18 turnovers and were 10 for 10 from the free throw line, you would think I'd be giving you very good news when it comes to the score.
Can we just skip giving the stats?
Yeah, let's skip the rest of it. Let's just leave it at that. It's not good news for the Streaks, though, as they also have 18 turnovers, and they've only made two field goals, a two and a three from Teron Diggins, and the Streaks trail at the half 34-15. They were outscored, what was it, 15 or 17 to nothing before we scored? I think it was
15.
15 to nothing before the Streaks even scored a point in the ballgame. 6 points in the first quarter for the Streaks, 17 for Morton. The Potters scored another 17 in the second quarter. The Streaks with 9 in that second quarter, just not able to get anything going offensively. And, you know, Eric, this is the case. You talk about it. College, NBA, no matter, you know, when you've got two talented teams, a lot of times it is about matchups and how you match up with a team. And this is one, for some reason, the Streaks just have trouble with this matchup, with the length of this Morton team. They're not overly athletic, but they're a pretty athletic team to go along with their length. And, you know, you think about the Centennial team we played Saturday night, much more athletic. A Springfield team, much more athletic. Peoria Central, much more athletic. Rock Island, probably more athletic, but it's just something about this particular matchup we have trouble with.
Well, the other thing I think that really factors into this is also the physicality. Yeah. This is a very smart Morton Potter team. Like we've talked about, very well coached. They execute real well. But, you know, one of the things when I talk about being smart, you have to understand what you're being allowed to get away with.
Yeah.
Officials are allowing the hand checks. They're allowing the bumping. They're allowing the shoving. They're allowing you to fight through screens. Now, with all that being said, the Streaks are just being essentially beat up as far as that's concerned and aren't doing the same thing at their end. Officiating, is this a poorly officiated team game? I always say the only time that it's a poorly officiated game is when it favors one side or the other. Yeah. I don't think that's true. I think this has been the officials have let a lot go both ways. So if you're consistent, then that's what you have to understand, and the Streaks just have not played to that level.
I mean, in that respect, it's almost a carbon copy of last year's game, except for the fact that Morton's has scored more points than they did early in that last game, because last year was a 48 or 49-38 game that Morton beat us, but very similar the way, you know, that really, and the Streaks team does have trouble with that physicality, and also the difference is the Streaks have not been that aggressive on the other side. I mean, I guarantee Morton would have just as much trouble handling the ball if the Streaks, with their quickness, were being that physical.
Right. No, I totally agree. The other thing is, you know, if you're Coach Massey going into halftime, there's not a whole lot you can tell your team that's going to just ultimately change. You know, there's not one fix. There's not, the Streaks aren't, you know, missing one part of their defense, or there's not one obvious fix. But one of the things I think you've got to tell them is, listen, we have two quarters left. You have to win the third quarter by 10, and you have to win the fourth quarter by 10. If you win both quarters by 10, you win the game.
Yeah.
And you just have to come out. The other thing I'd look at doing is I think you got to shorten the bench. If you're going to go to to try to win this game, and you're not going to use this as just purely a teaching game. You've got to shorten the bench, because Hannah Smith has had problems handling the ball with this pressure. Paige has had problems handling the ball with this pressure. Everybody has. The only player that's really been able to get what she wants is Sharon, and even she has struggled at times going through that.
It's just been, and really you credit, especially with Paige or Hannah, whoever. I mean, the length of Borden, basically everybody out there guarding them is 5'7 to 5'10, and a lot of the time it's 5'10 girls out there guarding the ball with good length, good wingspan, and it's just been tough going for the Streaks. Our halftime scoreboard is brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. The Ellsberg High boys lost earlier today to Elmhurst York, 57-37. They'll be back in action tonight at John Thiel Gym to wrap up the Martin Luther King tournament. They will play Kankakee, 5:40 for the pregame, a 6 o'clock schedule tip-off with Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee here on WGIL.
The boys could really use a momentum builder. They need a W, and this Kankakee team might be the perfect team for them to be playing at this point. Only 3 wins on the season.
Yeah.
Their only win in this tournament, or only 3 wins coming in, their only win in the tournament is against Bloomington, the same team that Streaks beat.
So that game tonight on WGIL and WGIL.com. Earlier here today, it was United Township losing to Peoria Notre Dame 60-58. Notre Dame, very good young team. I think they only have maybe one senior on their roster. Just one senior on their roster of this Notre Dame team. They're going to be a pretty good team over the next couple of years. The other game here today, Alleman blew out Peoria Central 51-33. Of course, Central still playing without 5 of their players. And Jemiah Carpenter, who injured her ankle a little bit against the Streaks in the third quarter, she did see some playing time, but it was somewhat limited. We'll take this time out, come back, and run down our halftime stats. It is Morton 34, Galesburg 15. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
He's been spotted wearing the WGIL button on his coat, even his beard. He'd wear one on his purse if he carried a purse. He commands the attention of button spotters. He makes headlines when he posts on Facebook. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always button up, but when I do, I prefer the WGIL button. Stay a winner, my friends.
Pick up your orange button today at Galesburg Toyota in front of the Sandburg Mall on North Henderson. Details at WGIL.com.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Play-by-play coverage of Galesburg High School girls basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock, with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Personal putting green, a heated 2.5-car garage, and a lower level that can serve as an office or a fifth bedroom make the 4-bedroom quad level on Dayton Drive in Galesburg a great place to call home. Another great house that's for sale by owner. Go to galesburg.info, click on keyword FISBO for all the details.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. Cloudy and milder this afternoon with a chance of light rain and a high of 48. Cloudy with areas of fog and a chance of rain this evening. Overnight, a chance of snow and sleet, a low of 29. Cloudy tomorrow, chance of morning snow. By afternoon, partly sunny and a slight chance of snow. Temperatures falling into the mid-20s. Gusty winds near 30 miles an hour. Right now, it's 46 degrees at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Halftime stats brought to you by Thorne's Pets and Supplies, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet. Not much going for the Silver Streaks. 11 points for Sharon Diggins on 6-for-6 from the line, a 3 and a 2. 2 points for Jessica Lieber on 2 free throws. 2 for Chloe Anderson on 2 free throws. 1 3-pointer, 10-for-10 from the line for the Streaks. Courtney Allenbaugh, 15 points to lead the way for Morton. 9 points for Sarah Livingston. 4 points for Lexi Ellis, two apiece for Kate Byrne, Carly Crocker, and Emily Schultz. 10 for 10 from the line for Morton as well.
18 turnovers for each team, 15 rebounds to 8. The Morton Potters have a plus 7 lead there. Offensive rebound streak 6, 5 for Morton. Or excuse me, streaks have 5, 6 for Morton. And the streaks shooting only 1 of 9 from inside the arc, 1 of 9 from outside the arc. Only 2 field goals in that first half for the streaks. Yep. 12 of 20 for Morton, 60%. So 60% to 11% shooting. That's pretty much tells the tale right there.
Fortunately for the streaks, Aaron Tisdale just picked up her third foul. Nice move by Sadie Hamilton going down on the right block. She did the ball fake and got her up in the air, got Tisdale up in the air. But the first miss from the free throw line. Now Sadie missed both of the free throws. So she still has not scored, and first misses from the free throw line for either team today.
I thought it went off of Ellis, but yeah, they're going to say it went off.
Streaks knocked it away down on the Morton baseline. So Sadie Hamilton with three fouls for the Streaks, three for Aaron Tisdale for the Potters. Inbounding is Byrne. And a near steal by Myra Diggins. Livingston able to run it down, and that's going to go to the Streaks as Myra knocked it away from Livingston, went between her legs. Livingston got a hand on it on the way, and the Streaks get it back with 7:41 to play here in the third quarter, trailing 34-15. Jessica Lieber to bring it across. Hits to Sadie Hamilton, left of the center circle on the dribble out, high right side to Myra Diggins. Now hands off to Jessica Lieber. Jessica working against Byrne on the right wing. Fires a long three off the back iron. No rebound to Livingston for Morton. Livingston behind the back dribble gives off to Tisdale. Tisdale across midcourt, right of the center circle. Gives to Ellis, now to Livingston. Nice look underneath to Allenbaugh. Kicks it out to Byrne on the left wing. Now back out high left side to Ellis. Out high right side, it goes to Tisdale. High post, it is Livingston. Swings it over to the left baseline to Allenbaugh. Out high left side, this is Ellis. Nice patience by Morton. Now see, there's right what you're talking about, Eric. Myra Diggins, a little bump on Ellis. They haven't been calling that the entire first half. So does that mean you're going to call it now consistently the second half? We'll see.
Exactly. Well, and just an example of how tough it has been for the Streaks to shoot the basketball in this game. That was only Jessica Lieber's second shot of the game.
Now inbound pass over the top to Livingston. Missed the shot, but she knocks away the outlet pass from Casey Williams to Jessica Lieber. And where's the ball going to go? I didn't see him indicate who was going to. Oh, they're giving it back to Morton.
Jeez.
Wow.
Well, Casey's got to know that Livingston's bigger than she is. She's more athletic than she is. And you can't make lazy passes with a player like that that's willing to sell out on defense, which Livingston, or this whole Morton team anyway, is.
Livingston with a nice move down on the right block, puts it up and got that one to fall.
See, and that's a rough turnaround right there. The Streaks had the Potter stopped, and then Casey gave the ball right back.
Sharon Diggins, Casey Williams, Chloe Anderson, Rainey Sibley, Jessica Lieber for the Streaks. Rainey Sibley with it out high on the left side. Gets to Jessica Lieber out between the circles on the dribble. Gets to Sharon Diggins right wing. She'll drive right baseline, leans in against Livingston. Nice job by Sharon. She was actually in a spot where she couldn't have gotten a good shot off, and Livingston's trying to say, hey, I just had my arm straight up, but she did kind of lean in and moved with Sharon on the baseline as she went up.
Exactly. She was leaning a little bit over the top. She's got to learn to stay straight up, and, you know, she's athletic enough. She could have given Sharon some space and probably stepped back a step and still blocked that shot.
Yeah, and honestly, she probably didn't have to because Sharon was real straight under the glass when she tried to go up anyway. That's why she had no chance of making that, but she did hit the first free throw, 36-16. Potter's second one up, and that one is short for Sharon.
If we were on TV, Tom, there was a good example on the Streaks' last possession as to why they've struggled so much in this game, and that was in that Jessica Jessica tried to pass it to Sadie in their normal course of the offense. The defense was overplaying Sadie, and so Jessica had to throw it back towards the half-court line. And when you're moving your offense backwards, that's not helpful. The Streaks have got to take advantage and go to the basket on backdoor cuts.
So a 10-second call against Morton. Allison Mangieri, she's in. She fires the three from the right wing. Hits off the back rim, no good. And the rebound tipped out and grabbed by Myra Diggins. Triple teamed in the corner, gets it off to Hannah Smith, gets hammered on the three-pointer, made it, and she got fouled. Got fouled by Kate Byrne. I thought the shot was going to come up short, but she may have gotten a hand on the ball, but that may have helped get it in there. Byrne gets called for the foul. That is her second, so Hannah Smith with a chance at the four-point play. Make it 36-19, now 36-20.
It's the traditional four-point play.
6:06 to play. Now Livingston runs it across left side for Morton. 36-20, 6 minutes to play. Livingston gives to Allen Ball, left baseline out high to Ellis. Now in the center circle, it goes to Tisdale. Now high post at the free throw line. Livingston drives in, throws up a runner from straight on off the glass, and it goes in. That was kind of an interesting shot. She just kind of threw it straight at the basket.
Yeah, and you know, the Streaks don't really have an answer for that. So if she's going to hit those, she's going to hit them.
Now Sharon Diggins drives in, tried to get the pass to Myra Diggins. Knocked away and stolen now by Myra. And she gets fouled by, that's Tisdale. And that's going to be her fourth foul. She had the back and she pushed her. Morton fans didn't like it. She had one hand up on the ball but pushed her from underneath. And that was it was a nice move by Sharon. She went down, drew the defenders down on the block. She tried to get that pass in between. But it was, I'm not sure who it was that closed out on it. And I think it was Ellis that closed out and stole it. But Myra took it right back away from her. And now Myra has missed her first shot from the free throw line.
This is not the time to start missing free throws. If the officials are going to start putting you to the line, you can't start missing. Streaks are perfect 10 for 10 in the first half. They're now 1 for 4. One for 4 in this half.
Yeah. No,
one
Sharon
for 5.
Hit one. Yeah. No, Sharon and Hannah hit one. So.
Oh, that's right. So
yeah, but now Myra missed the second one. So Streaks now struggling from the line, trailing 38-20. Right wing, this is Ellis, nearly loses the hand, and now we're going to have
Jump
a tie-up.
Wow. This is why I don't like the timeout coming from the bench.
Yep. The Streaks had the tie-up, but they gave the timeout to Bob Becker, and I thought it's just because the official right on top of where the tie-up was didn't blow the whistle as quickly as the one calling the timeout. So it's a 30-second timeout for Morton. 5:26 to play in the third. Streaks trail 38-20. They were outscored 17-6 in the first quarter, 17-9 in that second quarter. More games in this tournament. Actually, one more tonight, and that will actually be at Normal U-High, and that will be Champaign Centennial against U-High. Then next Saturday, the Streaks will take on Peoria Notre Dame at 10:30. That game at Thiel Gym. Morton plays UT down at Morton. U-High and Alleman will play at noon at Thiel Gym. Centennial and Peoria Central play at Morton. 4:30, Alleman and Notre Dame at Thiel. UT and Centennial at Morton at 4:30, and the Streaks take on U-High at 6 o'clock at Thiel Gym. Then Morton and Peoria Central at Morton at 6 o'clock. As the Morton turns it over.
Yeah, basically a lob pass. Tried to get the lob pass down to Livingston. She just could not hang on to it. A little too high for her.
Jessica Lieber on the dribble, goes right baseline, puts it up and in, and gets fouled. Nice job by Jessica Lieber. Drew the contact from Kate Byrne, and that's the thing. That's three on Byrne. Now the Streaks were not being aggressive enough going to the basket. You're going to get some blocked, but more often than not, as long as they're moving, you're going to get the foul call, and that's what happened with Byrne. She started to go straight up, but she was still moving into Jessica.
Well, we're going to start seeing what kind of depth is on this Morton bench here in a minute, too.
As Jessica Lieber converts a three-point play, now it's 38-23 Morton. In the backcourt, this is Allen Ball to Ellis. Now this is Byrne with it. Brings it across midcourt, left to the center circle. Byrne gets it on the left wing to Livingston. Livingston drives into the paint, spins, travel with it. Yep, nice job by Emma Junk on the defense. And Livingston trying to figure out what she did, and that was a pretty obvious travel there.
Sometimes the best way to get that call is just to back up once the offensive player tries to lean in on you, and that's exactly what she did. Emma just backed up, and she fell backwards.
Jessica Lieber out high left side, drives left baseline, leans in, and her pass is off the mark, but Paige Klink able to run it down out near midcourt. Back to Jessica Lieber. That's one. If Jessica would have put that shot up, she might have gotten the call again because the defense was kind of bumping her going to the basket again. Top of the key, Paige Klink. She'll fire the three. It's good! First of the ball game for Paige Klink. Second three of the ball game for the Streaks. It's now 38-26. 4.5 to play in the third.
Third three.
Oh, third.
Hannah,
that's
Sharon,
right.
And now
that's
Paige.
Right. I forgot about Hannah's there with the four-point play.
Yeah.
This is Crocker. Left baseline goes to Allen Ball. She drives in, puts it up, rolls off too hard, and goes over
that
the back.
That should be a foul.
Emma Junk for the rebound. Nice job by Emma. Emma got the hands up, held her ground. There was nothing else she could do defensively, and Crocker just shot it too hard, probably expecting the contact.
Allen Ball shot it too hard, but Allen Ball then went after the ball. And see, what happened is in the first half, they weren't calling the over the back, so Morton was playing to that. And right there, Allen Ball tried to do the same thing she was doing in the first half, and now all of a sudden they're calling it.
Hannah Smith in for the Streaks, lost it, picks it back up, and Evan Massey calls timeout, which I'm not sure how he got because we didn't have control of the ball at that point.
Well, but it was a good timeout, too, because Right there, there wasn't a whole lot Hannah was going to do positive. This is going to be a 30-second timeout.
4-11 to play in the third.
As we look forward, I know it's kind of early still, but just looking at the matchups in the sectional, this Morton team is going to join Metamora, East Peoria, Pontiac, and Washington in the East Peoria Regional. How would you like to be Pontiac, wow, having to travel all the way across, wow, the state there? Jeez, to go to the East Peoria Regional. And they'll be coming up. The Galesburg hosts the sectional this year. Again, Galesburg with Geneseo, Rocky, and Dunlap. So we have the potential to see Rocky for the Dunlap for the third time, yeah, or Rocky for the third time, yep, for that matter.
Yeah, so yeah, the Streaks hosting the sectional. Super sectional this year again will be at Pontiac, which we haven't figured that out.
Yeah, and also Ottawa will be joining. And in Ottawa's, it's Kankakee, LaSalle Peru, Morris, and Streeter. And then finally in the Barton Regional, it's Bartonville Limestone, Peoria High School, Peoria Emanuel, Notre Dame, and Richwoods. That's going to be a rough one to get through.
Sadie Hamilton with the ball between the circles. Hands off to Myra Diggins out high right side to Jessica Lieber. Also Danny Teal and Sharon Diggins on the floor. This is Danny Teal out high on the left side to Jessica Lieber, top of the key. Right wing, Sharon Diggins gets a double pick. Wide open three, and Sadie Hamilton got knocked to the floor on the pick. Again, they didn't call it. It was Allenbaugh that ran over Sadie Hamilton. Now we got a foul on Crocker going after the loose ball. But, yeah, they just ran over Sadie, knocked her to the floor on the double pick. That's
well,
why
and
Sharon
that's,
couldn't get the three off.
Right, and that's happened time and again. And like I said, that something that Coach Massey should have been putting in the refs here at halftime, because we've seen that over and over again in the first half, and now it doesn't get called here early in the second half.
So Sharon Diggins goes to the free throw line. This is a one a bonus, 17 fouls now to the Streaks, one here in the second half. First one bounces around and falls through for Sharon Diggins.
And Sharon rights the ship. She had missed her last free throw attempt.
She's got 13 points on the afternoon, 38-27, chance to cut it to 10 right here. Second one is up, and that one is perfect. But now it's a 38-28 Morton lead, 3:47 to play third quarter. This is Byrne on the run in the backcourt. Now kind of goes backwards and gets it across to Allenbaugh out high on the right side. Allenbaugh dribbles down to the right baseline, pulls it back out to the wing, gives to Ellis out between the circles, out high left side to Byrne, left baseline. This is Crocker. Drives in, kicks back out to Ellis between the circles. Ellis dribbles in, now kicks to Byrne. Byrne will penetrate inside the free throw line. Nice dish to Livingston on the left block. She lays it up and in.
This Morton team is very good at running their offense. They are very patient.
Now Sharon Diggins' layup got too far to the basket. Can't hit Myra Diggins.
That should be a travel.
Travel. Yes, thank you very much. Rebound came down to Crocker. She traveled with the basketball. Morton fans, again, don't like it, but you got to understand the rules of basketball. You catch the ball, you go to the floor with it, you slide across the floor, it's a travel. Allison Mangieri, Paige Clink, Chloe Anderson, Jessica Lieber, Casey Williams in for the Streaks. Allison Mangieri to inbound from the left baseline.
Unfortunately for the Streaks, they missed two point-blank layups, too, there.
Yeah. Jessica Lieber drives in, cut off by Byrne. Casey Williams, top of the key, as closed out. Or Casey lost a handle on it, and the Streaks lose it out of bounds.
Well, she should have been called for the carry before, yeah, that ball even went out of bounds.
Yeah, I thought she kind of got a second opportunity. I thought she was going to get it back because she drove around Livingston, but there was no way she was going to get a shot off and kind of lost a dribble on it. And it comes to Crocker in the backcourt. Knocked away by Casey Williams. Ball's going to fall out of bounds in front of the Streaks bench. 3:03 to play third quarter. Streaks trail 40-28. Galesburg High boys basketball coming up tonight here on WGIL and WGIL.com. They'll take on Kankakee over at John Thiel Gym. That'll be a 5:40 pregame, 6 o'clock schedule tip-off with Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee. Now Morton with numbers. Allenbaugh runs it down the left side, gets to Livingston on the right block. She lays it up and in.
Well, what happened right there is the Streaks just got beat. Morton put a sideline line together, and then Allenbaugh came off the line, and nobody stepped in front of her, so she had a wide-open breakaway, put a 2-on-1 in front of Casey Williams.
Jessica Lieber misses the three from straight on. Allenbaugh down with a rebound, gives way to Byrne. Byrne on the run now picks up, gives to Livingston out high on the right side. Cross-court pass goes to Crocker. Now out between the circles, it's Ellis with 2:31 to play, and Morton spreading the floor a little bit here against the Streaks. Ellis left baseline to Allenbaugh. At the free throw line, it goes to Crocker. Crocker back out to Ellis, out high left side, left baseline to Allenbaugh. She's not going to shoot that three. Now high post, it goes on the left side to Livingston. Now Ellis, and a near turnover by Morton. And saving,
oh,
that's an over and back, yep.
They want, yeah. Yep, Morton wants the back. Foul called. As Jessica got a little bump there that actually pushed her across the half court line. And Coach Becker not happy with that non-call at all. And I think there was a little contact there. And, you know,
I think
like we talked about.
Got the break because of the bad play,
yeah,
by Morton. And now Hannah Smith, wow.
There's a makeup call.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeez.
Very late call at that.
So Hannah Smith gets sandwiched between a couple of players and gets between them to try to make the pass, and they call the travel. And now a errant pass, and it's picked up by Sadie Hamilton, who traveled with it right after she got it. They didn't see that one either. Sadie drives down the right side of the lane, lays it up uncontested, and got it. First basket of the ball game for Sadie Hamilton. Make it 42-30. Under 2 minutes to play here in the third quarter. Morton with a lead. Allen Ball with it in the backcourt. Now Morton with numbers. 3-on-1 break. Byrne runs it down the left side. Stop shot blocked by Sadie Hamilton. Are you kidding me? The official was all the way out near midcourt. There's an official right under the basket. Didn't make the call. Sadie blocked the ball away, and the official at midcourt calls a foul on Sadie.
Well, we've seen that time and again here, but do it from this officiating crew, in that the official farthest from the play is constantly making calls. That's four now on her.
Free throw up and good for Byrne. Yeah, Sadie with four fouls, and she's going to go out. Chloe Anderson comes in. Also, Jessica Lieber comes in, and Hannah Smith goes out. 3 points for Byrne. I mean, I don't understand how, when there's an official right on the play, and he didn't have his back to it, he was right there watching the play. The official, all the way out of midcourt, doesn't have a good angle anyway, makes a call. Second shot up and good for Byrne. They get 44-30, Morton. Now a bad pass by the Streaks, and a stolen away by Ellis. Knocked away by Jessica Lieber. Oh, they're going to say it went off the foot of Ellis after Jessica Lieber knocked it away. The Streaks are going to get it back.
Nine turnovers in this half for Morton now. They're giving the Streaks a chance.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. Jessica Lieber in the backcourt with it. Getting trapped up, gets bumped, no call. Now picks up, gets across to Chloe Anderson. Now Myra Diggins in the center circle out high right side to Jessica Lieber. 1:27 to play here in the third. Ball knocked away and stolen by Byrne. And Are you kidding me? Jessica got bumped coming across midcourt three times, and then on the turnover after the Streaks turned it over, a bump there. I don't even think there was any contact. And was it Sharon that got called? I'm not even sure who they called.
I couldn't hear. They said fourth. Is that Myra's fourth?
Oh, that would be Myra then. Yep, that's her fourth. And again, this official, this happened out near midcourt. The official that made the call was down on the baseline. There was another official right on top of the play.
Well, and I think technically if you wanted to call, you could have called a hold when Jess went to throw that pass, because that's why the ball popped up. I was okay with the non-call because it was, you know, a situation where Jess was trapped up. The ball came loose. But, you know, you can't. You've got to make up your mind. Are you going to let stuff go,
exactly,
or are you going to call every little bump?
Livingston drives in right side, can't hit the shot. Rebound comes out to Jessica Lieber. Jessica Lieber across midcourt, right side, 59 seconds to play here in the third quarter. Jessica dribbles left baseline. It goes to Sharon Diggins outside the three-point arc, comes to the wing, gets bumped, nearly knocked over, no call. Gets to Chloe Anderson, right baseline, 10-footer up, rolls off, no good. Rebound knocked away from Livingston. Now the ball goes to the floor. Myra Diggins comes up, gets hammered, and no call. Right in front of the same official who is calling fouls out of midcourt. Are you kidding me?
And now they're going to call a jump ball.
Which there wasn't a jump ball.
It was clearly out on Morton.
Wow. Oh, now the other official changes it. Myra Diggins absolutely got hammered trying to put the shot up, and they didn't call a foul. I mean, absolutely hammered. The official right on top of the play, the same official that has been calling calls from half court away. Sharon Diggins gets to Myra Diggins down on the right block. Lay it up and in. Nice feed from Sharon. Myra with her first basket. It's 44-32. Morton, 33 seconds to play in the third. Allen Ball in the backcourt on the dribble across midcourt left side. Still on the dribble. Goes to the wing and hands off to
There's your buddy again.
Yeah, well, Sharon Diggins got called for the bump. Had a hand on her, you know, but be consistent with it, please. You know, it probably was a foul, but you're not calling it all the time. You're not calling it both ways. Sharon now with actually, I believe that was her first foul. Did you have
That's what I had, too.
Okay.
You know, it's the official that's on the baseline right now, and the one that's on the far side seem to be letting a lot go. This official's the one that's being a little touchy with his foul calls, the one that's in the backcourt.
Pass over the top to Livingston. She lays it up and in.
A nice, strong play by Livingston.
Yeah,
she was able to catch a ball. Kind of looked like Calvin Johnson there coming down with the reception and then fought hard to get the ball up and in.
I mean, Casey Williams couldn't have done anything more than she did defensively on that play. Make it 46-32, 8 seconds to play. Jessica Lieber on the right baseline, tried to get to Sharon Diggins. Pass was off the mark as Sharon was trying to post up, and Jessica trying to get around the long arms. I think it was Allen Ball out
there. Yeah, well, and the other thing is Jess, I think, was trying to set up that step-back jumper she does, and Allen Ball just stayed with her, and she's long enough that it's not going to work real well for Jess as long as Allen Ball doesn't bite on her fake.
At midcourt, 1 second to play. Long shot up and no good by Tisdale. We have played three quarters of basketball. Morton still in control. It is Morton 46, Galesburg 32. We'll come back with the final 8 minutes. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
The continuity of care there really does help their progress because the therapist knows them. They know where they started and what their issues are so that they can continue to manage them in a consistent fashion.
Jan Glasnovich, physical therapist and director for OSF St. Mary Medical Center's Rehabilitation Department, and her team of therapists get you started while you're still in the hospital to decrease recovery time.
If we do see a patient here in the hospital, we can carry over their services in the same facility and oftentimes with the same therapist after they're discharged from the hospital and come in for outpatient therapy.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Employers, you can reach 75,000 plus people in West Central Illinois when you recruit via radio web combo at galesburg.info keyword jobs. Unlike most other recruitment vehicles that reach mainly job seekers, this dynamic combo gets the word out to people who may not even know they're looking. Is that you? Galesburg.info keyword jobs.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
Morton with the basketball to start the fourth quarter. This is Byrne across midcourt. It goes to Livingston, and they're going to spread it out again. Being guarded by Paige Klink. Now she'll drive into the paint. Nice dish to the right block down to Ellis, and she brings it back out. Gets to Byrne between the circles.
Good decision by Ellis right there. She could have tried to go in, but that's where the streak defense was.
Jessica Lieber, Allison Mangieri, Sadie Hamilton, Paige Klink, and Myra Diggins for the streaks. They get to open down on the left block. Was Tisdale. Missed the easy shot.
3 seconds.
Can't hit a second one.
Oh, wow. That should have been out on Ellis.
Yeah, Ellis knocked the ball out, and they're going to give it back to Morton. Has two missed easy shots by Tisdale that time. And then it looked like Ellis knocked the ball out of bounds, going to go back to Morton.
We said the Streaks need to win the third and the fourth each by 10 points. They won the third by five, so they put themselves in quite the hole for this fourth quarter.
Livingston gets good inside position on the inbound and puts it up and in, make it 48-32. Jessica Lieber on the left wing, on the dribble, picks up, fires a three. It's blocked by Byrne. Livingston down with a rebound. This is Byrne, runs it down the right side, goes right at Sadie Hamilton, now passes the left block to Allenball, who lays it up and in. She's got 17 now. That's her first basket since the first half. They get 50-32 Morton.
Do you think that Morton knows all of Justice's tricks?
Yeah, I'm thinking so. Out high left side, Allison Mangieri on the dribble, drives down the left side. She's got total isolation, lays it up with the left hand, can't hit it. Rebound tipped out by Livingston. Ellis comes down with it. Ellis on the run, gets to Byrne, running the right side, lays it up and got it.
I think the Streaks might need a timeout right here. That's six straight points, and you've put yourself down by 20 now.
Yeah, the Streaks had cut it to 10, and now they're down by 20, and now Evan Matzik calls a timeout. 6:41 to play in the ball game. It is Morton 52, Galesburg 32. This is a full timeout. We'll take one as well. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
There are great properties for sale in Galesburg and the surrounding areas that you might not be aware of because they're for sale by owner. If you or someone you know is looking for a different house, go to galesburg.info. Click on keyword FISBO for all the details. Terry Cavanaugh here for WGIL. Get the details on the next Knox County Snowmobile Search and Rescue Training when Pat Hennepin joins us tomorrow morning at 8:15 on the WGIL Morning News.
Back at Memorial Gym, Knox College, Tom Aerodith along with Eric Gibson. The Streaks were down by 10 in the third quarter. They had cut into the lead. They outscored Morton 17-12 in that third quarter, but now quickly down by 20, 52-32. And as you mentioned off the air, Eric, Centennial had gone on a little run to start the fourth quarter against us on Saturday, but we were only down by 4 heading into the fourth quarter that time.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is the Streaks got momentum like you were talking about, got it down to 38-28, but since then have been outscored 14-4.
Jessica Lieber out between the circles. Also, Sharon Diggins, Chloe Anderson, Rainey Sibley, Casey Williams. It's Rainey fires a three from out high on the left side. Can't hit. Rebound comes down to Allenbaugh. She gives way to Tisdale. Now it's Ellis. Ellis across midcourt, right side. Picks up, trapped up, looking for help, and gets it to now try to get it to Tisdale, but the ball is knocked away by Sharon Diggins on the far sideline. Morton will have to inbound from there. 6:15 to play in the ball game.
Sharon knocks that over to her family. Unfortunately, no souvenirs in the high school basketball game.
Inbound, they tried to get it to Livingston. She couldn't bring it in, had to tip it out. Allen Ball had it. Now it's Tisdale out high on the right side. Now Byrne has it just outside the center circle. High post goes to Livingston. Nice dish underneath to Allen Ball. She lays it up and in. Boy, got to be nice to be Allen Ball. That's kind of like being Horace Grant to play for the Bull. Getting it wide open all the time from Jordan and Pippen. Now the Streaks are going to turn it over. Pass went, Sharon tried to get Casey Williams through right at her feet. And the Streaks turn it over with 5:53 to play.
Well, with how great the execution's been for Morton, it's been that terrible for the Streaks. They just have not been able to do anything offensively. And I think Coach Massey, 5:53 left to go. If you don't go on some kind of major run here in the next minute or two, you're looking at trying to get some other players in just for some experience.
So Coach Massey calls another full timeout. I think he's upset with the way they just came out from that timeout, even with a totally unforced turnover there.
Although, as I say that, I think everybody else is with the sophomore team, so Michaela Isley's not here.
Yeah, that's or
Carly Wieland isn't here.
Yeah, they both, because they just both played over at in the field house over here a little bit ago. So 5:53 to play in the ball game. Streaks trail 54-32. Galesburg High boys basketball coming up tonight here on WGIL and WGIL.com. They'll take on Kankakee over at John Thiel Gym. Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee. Tip-off scheduled for 6 o'clock. The pregame getting underway at 5:40 with Brad and Jim. Our next broadcast coming up Thursday night as the Streaks will play host to... Who do we have? Or is that one on the road? Is that the UT game on
no,
the road?
No, Thursday is Quincy at home.
We got Quincy at home. That's right. The Quincy Blue Devils at John Thiel Gym. So it'll be 6:40 for the pregame, 7 o'clock scheduled tip-off. Eric and I will have that one for you here on WGIL and WGIL.com. Morton with numbers as they break the full court pressure. Ellis down on the right block. Kicks out to Livingston, out high left side to Byrne. Now it's Tisdale out between the circles. Free throw line goes to Livingston. She holds on. Now kicks out to Byrne. Byrne nearly had it stolen away. It was poked away by Sharon Diggins. Byrne got it back. Now Livingston top of the key to Ellis. So down to the right block. 5-footer is up and good.
With how easy it is for Morton to pass the ball around, it's quite contrasting compared to when the Streaks have the basketball.
It is. It really is. And there's a prime example right there as there was another near steal by Allenbaugh as it was Allison Mangieri trying to get it to Sadie Hamilton. Allenbaugh knocked it away. Couldn't reel it in. Streaks will have it at midcourt with 5:21 to play.
Well, you know, one of the things that happens is the Streaks get too mechanical in their offense, and when the other team's reading it, they don't have answers for it. And right there, again, Sadie should have gone. Jeez, Peters. Sadie travels with the ball, but the whistle came after she had already passed the ball.
It was an obvious travel. I was getting ready to say she got away with one, but the whistle blew, yeah, a long time after that play happened.
But as I was saying, the Streaks just aren't backdoor cutting.
No.
Like, they're letting Morton just sit in their passing lanes, and nothing's happening to counteract that. As Allenbaugh gets a run out,
yep.
It's 58-32, and the Streaks still have yet to score in this quarter.
Jessica Lieber with it. She's in there with Emma Junk, Chloe Anderson, Rainey Sibley, and Paige Klink.
In fact, Morton on a 14-0 run right now, counting the end of the last quarter.
Jessica Lieber out between the circles, left wing, Rainey Sibley, left baseline, it goes to Paige Klink. Paige drives in, gets bumped by Tisdale, no call, kicks out to Chloe Anderson, right wing, and banks in a three. Guess you take them any way you can get them on a game like this and make it 58-35, Morton. 4:37 to play in the ballgame. Allenbaugh out high on the right side with it. Swings it over to Ellis on the left wing. Ellis drives in, gets to Livingston on the baseline, goes to the wing, now drives into the paint, kicks out to the right wing to Allenbaugh. Allenbaugh looks over the defense, working against Rainey Sibley. Nice backdoor cut, pass to Tisdale, but she didn't take the shot. Kicked it back out to Byrne. Now back to Tisdale on the left block. She'll drive in this time, stops, and still didn't take the shot. She should get a 3-second. They're going to call a timeout. I'm not sure why she didn't shoot it either time.
No.
She had two opportunities at it and didn't take it either time. I don't know why. So that's going to be a full timeout. We'll take one as well. 4:14 to play in the ballgame. Morton 58, Galesburg 35. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Who doesn't like cash? Win up to $500 by wearing the new orange WGIL button. Pick one up today at a participating sponsor. Details at WGIL.com.
4:14 to play at Memorial Gym, Knox College. The Morton Potters and the Galesburg Silver Streaks both tied for the number 8 ranking in the state of Illinois. You thought the Streaks probably would move up after their win over 4th-ranked Champaign Centennial and 6th-ranked Peoria Central, but who knows after this game.
Well, but I think the rankings are going to shook up regardless,
yeah.
Because I would imagine, although it's unfortunate, Central's going to drop because of their player issues,
right.
And then Centennial, I would have to imagine, will drop slightly, and Morton will probably move ahead of the Streaks, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Streaks still in the top 5.
And you would think Richwoods would probably move up as they've beaten Centennial. They've beaten Montini as well, so Danny Teal out there defending against Tisdale out between the circles. 3:48 to play. Streaks trail 58-35. Myra Diggins steals it away from Livingston. Gets it to Danny Teal. Danny on the dribble, right side. Stops on the right baseline. Stops, puts up off the glass. Rolls in and out. No good. Rebound to Sadie Hamilton. Over the back was Byrne, and no call. They call a jump ball. But fortunately, it goes back to the Streaks. I don't know how you don't call that one. She nearly bent Sadie over backwards, grabbing that, going over her back.
Yep.
3:37 to play. As Allison Mangieri, Chloe Anderson, Paige Plank, Jessica Lieber, and Casey Williams check in for the Streaks. Allison Mangieri to inbound from the, you're going to get a 5-call for not careful. Gets it into Jessica Lieber, right baseline shot blocked, but Jessica gets it back. Jessica Lieber brings it out high right side.
I think Jessica's only shot one shot from the field that hasn't been blocked. No, two shots, 1-3 and 1-2 that went in.
Allison Mangieri, three-pointer from the left wing is long. Rebound comes out to Byrne. Byrne, long down court pass. Ellis runs it down all by herself, lays it up, and got it. 8 points for Ellis, make it 60-35.
Well, you would hope the Streaks would at least get this under 20, so the score looks a little bit more respectable in the newspaper.
Jessica Lieber out between the circles. Yeah, nobody reads that anyway, right?
I didn't say it.
Drives in, shot is up and no good, hit the bottom of the rim, and the rebound came down to Aaron Tisdale.
More people probably do get their news from Will Stevenson, though.
That is true, see? Out high right side, this is Tisdale now in the center circle on the dribble. 2:40 to play in the ball game. You know, the Streaks suffered a much worse shellacking than this last year at the hands of Springfield and still came back and got to the Elite Eight. So just one game, and if in fact they do fall to defeat, it'll just as Casey Williams steals it away from Livingston. Livingston, for the second time, she just lays there. Same thing as happened when Myra Diggins. If I'm the coach, I would have taken her out the first time she did it, but she just did it again. She just laid there and smacked the floor like, come on! Now a steal by Allenbaugh. She can't hit the shot. Rebound comes down to Casey Williams. Jessica Lieber gives it to Paige Plink. Paige goes to the right wing, stops, fakes the three, gets past Livingston. Now almost banked it in, but the rebound is going to go off of Tisdale. Last Streaks will have it with 2:02 to play in the ball game.
Well, on that last play, Paige did a great job on Livingston of just swiping the ball away, kind of what we saw from this Morton team all game long. And I don't know, is Marissa Miller hurt? She's the only one that has not been into this game for the Streaks.
Yeah, you're right. And actually, she hadn't even taken her warm-up.
No.
So she may, I don't know, maybe she's hurt or something. Sharon Diggins, top of the key to Sadie Hamilton. Sadie fakes a three, drives down the right side, scoops it up off the glass, short. Rebound comes down off the hands of Hannah Smith, and they're going to give her a shooting foul. She kind of went wildly after that one. They're going to say she was shooting. I think Crocker gets called for the foul. And Hannah Smith goes to the free throw line with two shots.
It's a little too late on that call. I mean, yeah. You're going to start calling those.
Yeah. Hannah hits the first, make it 60-36, 1:49 to play. By the way, Will Smith says the check will be in the mail to you. Or it should be anyway. Second shot, no good. Rebound comes down to Liz Schultz, stolen away by Hannah Smith. Hannah turns, 10-footers up and good.
Hannah's making a run at Dave's Auto Body Player of the Game now.
60-38 now, Morton with a lead. In the backcourt, this is Emily Schultz. At midcourt, Crocker. Back to Schultz, right of the center circle. Emily Schultz, 1:30 to play. Right wing, it goes to Cox. Back to Schultz, out right of the center circle. Cox dribbles right. Now out between the circles and hands off to Crocker. Crocker dribbles to the top of the key. Kicks out to Cox. Cox picks up now at the top of the key. Looks for help and gets to Crocker again. Now a foul is going to be called on Sharon Diggins as she reaches in.
The unpredictability of high school basketball. I mean, you look at the Streaks beat Centennial in a tough game. You beat Peoria Central. Granted, they were shorthanded pretty easily. You've beat Springfield, you know, and then now you come back and just get your doors blown off by this Morton Potter team.
And they're no doubt a good team, but I will still contend that the best team we've played, I still think, is Centennial.
Yeah, from top to bottom, yeah. I agree with you. I think we've seen a couple teams that might have slightly better starting rotations, but definitely top to bottom as far as everybody that we saw come into that basketball game.
Now Bob Becker calls timeout as
Cox. Might as well. You can't take him home, right?
Yeah, that's true. Cox was out there trapped up and had nowhere to go with it. 1:15 to play in the ballgame. Again, the Galesburg boys in action. At 6 o'clock tonight at John Thiel Gym, they'll take on the Kankakee K's in the final game of the boys' side of the Martin Luther King Tournament. Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee will have that 5:40 for the pregame here on WGIL and WGIL.com. We will be back in action Thursday night at John Thiel Gym, back into Western Big Six Conference play as the Quincy Blue Devils will come to town. Quincy winless so far in the Big Six, but they've got their big girl Fletcher back, but they still, even with her back, they haven't been able to win a game as of yet.
Yeah, and you know, they're a sneaky good team, though. They're one of those teams that could come into Thiel and really give the Streaks a lot of problems because of Fletcher and because of how hard they play. Now, if they turn the ball over like they did when we were down at Quincy, they could have a lot of issues again. But, you know, that was a game that they were pretty much in three quarters of the game.
This is Crocker on the dribble, nearly stolen away by Danny Thiel. Crocker gets it back.
A little offhand shiver right there, put Danny to the floor. Oh, Crocker just got smashed in between Chloe and Danny.
44 seconds to play. Crocker on the dribble. Streak still out there playing tough defense. Now Marissa Miller's in there, actually. First time she's been in the ball game. 36 seconds to play. Crocker and Morton not even trying to go to the basket at all. They're just trying to keep from turning it over. Schultz gives to Cox. Now it's Crocker out high on the left side. 25 seconds to play. Schultz with it. Now the other Schultz, Emily Schultz, or Liz Schultz at the free throw line. Emily Schultz now to Cox out high on the left side. 15 seconds to play.
I'm all for fighting till the end, but in this game, you know, the last thing you want is one of your girls to sprain an ankle trying to go after the basketball in this situation. The Streaks don't really have a normal squad that would come in at this point.
So the Streaks fall to the Morton Potters. Final score, Morton 60, Galesburg 38. Streaks with only 6 points in that fourth quarter after cutting it to a 10-point lead in that third quarter. So Galesburg falls to 18-4 on the season. Morton moves to 18-2. And, again, one of those things, just matchup problems for the Streaks against this Morton Potter team, and the Streaks fall 60-38. We'll come back with our post-game show. We'll get a chance to chat with Streaks head coach Evan Massey, run down our final stats, and name our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Morton defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks 60-38. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks girls basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. Dave's Auto Body, you better call Dave's. By OSF St. Mary Medical Center, this is healthcare. By Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street. By Thorne's Pets and Supplies, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. And by Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Galesburg's radio station for news, talk, and Silver Streaks basketball. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
The buy one, get one free Egg McMuffin, now at McDonald's. You can't argue with a free Egg McMuffin. Well, you can. You'll just be wasting valuable time when you could be eating the Egg McMuffin. Not to mention, you'll look sort of silly arguing with a sandwich. So in conclusion, buy one Egg McMuffin, get one free to eat.
for a limited time at participating McDonald's. Price of single item posted on menu board.
The challenge. See who can find the greatest number of new items at Thorne's. This week, I won. I spotted Wiggles, Wags, and Whiskers brand leashes and colors right off the bat. And the ones from Premium Tough Lock. My person likes them because they're made in the USA and have a lifetime guarantee. I like them because they make me look cool. My final new item of the day, Jelly Bean Rugs. They're machine washable and super cool. I cannot wait till our next trip. I just love new things.
Soren's Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Personal financial needs call for personalized solutions. This is Will Taylor, Senior Trust Officer at F&M Bank. Whether you are considering estate planning or just want somebody to manage your assets, F&M can help. Trust and investments are just part of an integrated personal, financial, and estate plan. The best place to start is with a no-obligation appointment to discuss your situation and goals. Call me, Will Taylor, today.
Your community, your money, your hometown bank. F&M Bank.
F&M Bank.
Member FDIC.
Oh, just a little further. Oh. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is Healthcare. Cloudy tonight with areas of fog and a chance of rain this evening, then a chance of snow and sleet after midnight, low of 29. Chance of snow tomorrow morning by afternoon, partly sunny with a slight chance of snow. Temperatures falling into the mid-20s, gusty winds near 30 miles an hour. Clear and 8 above tomorrow night, sunny, breezy, 29 Wednesday. Right now it's 48 degrees at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Evan Massey. WGIL's coverage of GHS girls basketball continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14.
Back at Memorial Gym, Tom Meredith and Eric Gibson. The Galesburg Silver Streaks fall to the Morton Potters. 60-38 was the final score, and almost a perfect replica of last year's game. In fact, the Streaks scored 38 last year. The difference was that Morton scored more points. This eerily similar to what happened in the game last year, the way it was played, the way it was called, the flow of the game offensively for the Streaks, or I guess lack thereof. Yeah, that they weren't able to get into. Just almost the same game 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and you know, all you could say was it's ugly.
Yeah, it was. Well, Bob Becker wouldn't say that because that's what he said in the pregame. I talked about how ugly last year's game was. Well, it depends on what angle you're looking at it from, which for Morton, they did play a good game.
Yeah, and no, but I guarantee if you ask Coach Becker, are you satisfied with this being a pretty game and that your team turned the ball over 29 times?
Yeah.
He's probably going to say no. But that being said, he will take a win over a state-ranked team any day of the week, especially theoretically on the road, although we're not at Thiel, but same difference.
So Morton wins it here. 60-38 was the final score. The Streaks just 6 points in that fourth quarter, got outscored 14-6, and you know, really part of that was that Morton wasn't even trying to go to the basket hardly at all. They had spread it out a little bit, and late they weren't going to the basket at all. For a while they were, when they still had Livingston in there. They'd get her at the high post looking for the players underneath to get the easy buckets, but eventually they stopped even going to the basket.
Definitely the first game of the year in which the Streaks were held under double digits in three of the four quarters.
Yeah.
Usually maybe one quarter in a game, not three. And, you know, obviously they are 18 points under their previous low scoring output, and that was against all them, and so.
Yeah, the Streaks with, 17 in the third quarter. That's the only quarter they scored in double digits. Two quarters with just 6 points. That's very, very unusual for this team. A total of, 7 field goals in the game for the Streaks?
Nine total.
Or nine, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's see, I missed a couple somewhere there. But, just
just not a thing of beauty for the Galesburg Silver Streaks, and they come out with a loss, dropped to 18-4 on the season. But you know, you got to put it behind you. It's a tournament game. That's why you play good competition to get prepared for the postseason. We'll get back into Western Big Six play. We still got some important games there. I mean, we can only do what we can. We would have to get some help from some other teams to have a chance at the conference title. But the Streaks have a legitimate shot at doing that if taking care of their own business with Quincy coming in. You've got Rock Island at home. You still have to go to United Township, yeah. Which will be obviously the Rocky game will be tough, but that'll be a tough one up at UT as well. But the Streaks can handle their business and could possibly get some help from somebody else. I'm not sure what the rest of Rock Island's schedule is, whether they're home or on the road, but the Streaks still do have a shot at that Western, or at least maybe a share of the Western Big Six title.
Well, and you're 100% right, Tom. The big thing is just taking care of your own business. I mean, you would be satisfied if you won out and you don't get it. You sit there and you say, well, we did everything we could do. You know, there wasn't anything more we could have done, and it just wasn't in the cards this year. But I would have to imagine that Rocky team, they're good, but they're not that good that they won't trip up again.
Right.
They have one loss. So you would have imagined that they'll at least grab another loss somewhere. You could be... Moline has now three losses. You're going to hopefully have a chance to beat UT, who's below you anyway. And so Rocky's the big issue. And if you beat them, that puts them at two losses and possibly potentially a third if you beat them again.
So the Streaks lose here this afternoon to the Morton Potters, 60-38. The final score, Coach Massey, taking a little bit longer time, as you would expect, in the locker room after a game like this one. We'll take a timeout, come back, and get a chance to chat with Coach Massey and also run down our postgame stats. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Pratty Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premium. Call me, Mike Pratty, at Pratty Insurance for more information today and start saving.
Play-by-play coverage of Galesburg High School girls basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
After an accident, you may not know where to turn.
Turn to Bates. We'll navigate you through all the insurance paperwork, set you up with a rental car,
and make your car look like new with a factory-perfect repair. Guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
It's the end of five games in 4 days for the Galesburg boys basketball team as they wrap up the Martin Luther King tournament tonight with a game against Kankakee. Join us for the broadcast at 5:40. Tip-off scheduled for 6 here on WGIL.
Back at Memorial Gym, Knox College, Tom Meredith and Eric Gibson, where the Galesburg Silver Streaks fell to defeat to the Morton Potters. 60-38 was the final score. Time to take a look at our post-game final stats brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. One player in double figures for the Streaks. In fact, she was our only points in the first quarter. That was Sharon Diggins, 14. She hit 1-2, 1-3, and 9 of 10 from the free throw line for Sharon. 7 points for Hannah Smith, all those coming in the second half. She hit a 3, a 2, and she was 2-for-3 from the free throw line. 5 points for Jessica Lieber. She hit a two-pointer. She was 3-for-3 from the line. 5 points for Chloe Anderson. She hit a three-pointer and was 2-for-2 from the line. 2 points apiece for Sadie Hamilton and Myra Diggins, both 0-for-2 from the free throw line, both with a basket apiece. And that's all as far as the scoring for the Streaks. 16-for-22 from the line. Not bad as far as that goes. 4 three-pointers in the game for the Streaks. Potters with a couple of players in double figures. In fact, both of them had 21 points. Sarah Livingston, one of those. The other was Courtney Allenbaugh, who was the recipient of being wide open due to the talent of Courtney Allenbaugh. I mean, it's just like being on a team, you know, with the Jordan and Pippen years, being the Luke Longley or the Harvey Grant or Horace Grant that's going to get the ball wide open because the defense is concentrating on somebody else.
Or several players from the Peoria Central team when Sarah's brother played for
Sean
Livingston would do. Yep. The same thing in ball games. He would feed those kids like no other.
That's true. So 21 for Courtney Allenbaugh, 8 points for Lexi Ellis, 6 for Kate Byrne, 2 apiece for Carly Crocker, and Emily Schultz off the bench. The Potters 12 for 12 from the free throw line. This is the best free throw shooting game we've seen.
Actually,
this season.
They did miss one.
Oh,
Lexi
miss
Ellis
one?
Missed one.
You know what? I missed that somewhere. Where was that?
There it is.
Okay, I do see that. So 12 for 13 from the line. Yeah, in the second quarter, I saw she missed converting a traditional three-point
right
there. So 12 for 13 for the line for the Potters.
Well, I will say that if you're eating or you just ate, you may not want to listen to these stats. They're going to make you kind of sick, but you'll see why the Streaks definitely lost this game. Turnover battle 29 to 28. Morton turned it over one more time than the Streaks. The 28 turnovers, the most the Streaks have had all season long. Rebound, Streaks route rebounded 29 to 19. And this is a stat, one of the stats that floors me the most. Offensive rebound, Streaks 13 to 8 to Morton. It's not the offensive. Streaks only 6 defensive rebounds all game long. And you're not going to win very many games if you can't keep the other team off the boards. And that's exactly what happened here. Now, granted, there weren't a lot of missed shots because Morton shot 24 of 38, 0 for 1 from 3 if you count the half-court heave. Good for 62% from the field. They actually got better in the second half. They were 12 of 19 in the second half compared to 12 of 20 in the first half. Coach Massey going to join us now, so I will finish these up in just a minute.
Post-game coaches interview brought to you by Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. And Coach, one of those games, you know, we came back to give our halftime stats. It's like the first two stats, you would think that we were dominating. At the end of the first half, you were 10 for 10 from the free throw line, and you had forced 18 turnovers, but after that, things weren't going well for you other than that at that point.
Exactly. You just can't spot a good team 15-0 lead. You know, I think we knew we were going to struggle to score points against their defense. Their defense is very good. But, when they're making that run and it's 15-0, you look against a good team that, you know, if we could have weathered and been down 15-8 or something like that, it becomes a different thing. That we spot the first 15 points and then we come back and we're able to cut it to 10 late third quarter. And then the telling thing was that we weren't able to exchange baskets and then they went on a run. And so I would say, you know, the biggest overall thing is the fact our inability to consistently score, that we had too many. You can't at this level against a good team, you can't have 3 possessions in a row where you don't score. You've got to be more efficient than that. And we had too many times where we'd have 3, 4, and 5 possessions we didn't score.
Yeah.
And we also had possessions that ended with them getting a breakaway on a steal. And so those are a big deal. But back, you know, your comment of the last year, our huge trouble with against them is what they choose to do is they're going to attack the basket. And what happened is they went to attack the basket and we didn't foul. And the problem was we didn't foul. We did get them in foul trouble, I thought, and anyhow got to the line. But we didn't finish things. We didn't rebound then when they went.
Well, you went on a run in that third quarter. You cut it to 10, but the same thing, just like you said, happened. After doing that, you had several opportunities where, again, you didn't score with, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times in a row down the court to be able to get it to single digits.
Correct, yeah. That we just, you know, there's, you know, lots of things, but the bottom line is their half-court defense, we weren't able to solve and things. But, you know, I think I'm not going to dwell on this, and that's what we told the kids, is you look, you know, we've had tough games in the last 6 weeks. We had at Alleman and here, but otherwise you look really over we knew 4 tough games coming in here, and we had, you know, Moline, Central, Centennial, and we played well, and against Centennial, that was probably one of our best games of the year. So, you know, it's not a case back to the drawing board. What we've got to do is, when we execute what we're trying to do, we're in good shape. Today we didn't.
And, you know, sometimes I don't care what level or if it's basketball or football, sometimes it's about matchups. And for some reason, this team just poses a tough matchup for us, with, like you said in the pregame, with their length, for one, length and athleticism.
Yeah, and I think You know, if you look at one of the things, not that you ever want to get blown out or anything, but, you know, sometimes it's, you know, like we blew out Alleman the first time and then they turned around and they beat us up there, that, you know, who knows? We'll have to get a little better than we are right now, but if we get a little bit better, we might be fortunate enough to make it to the sectional, and who knows what happens then.
Well, and back to the important stuff, conference play coming up again on Thursday night. Got a Quincy team that can be a scary one. They struggled in the conference, but they're always a scary team if they're playing well.
Yeah, we'll have another good week. We've got Quincy on Thursday, and we've got Notre Dame and U-High on Saturday. So, well, we've got to turn the page from this game, turn the page from Centennial, and move on. And the girls will. They work hard, and they're not finger pointers at each other, so they'll bounce back.
Coach, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yep.
That is Streaks head coach Evan Massey here on the post-game show. Streaks fall 60-38 to the Potters. Let's finish up our post-game stats here.
Well, we were talking about that the Potters shot at 62% from the field. The Streaks got it better in the second half after shooting only 2 of 18 from the field in the first half. They shot it total 9 of 43, good for 21%, 4 of 19 from 3, 5 of 24 from 2, and just some ugly numbers. You know, usually the Streaks like to be in at least the 60 shots just for volume numbers. They were only able to hoist 43 shots, not good numbers at all. But that being said, obviously, as you stated, one of the better free throw shooting nights of the year, afternoons of the year, 16 of 22 from the free throw line, although they were only 6 of 12 in that second half, which 16 of 22 sounds impressive till you talk about the fact that they were 10 of 10 in the first half. Individual numbers, you said, Courtney Allenball with 21 points. She contributed also 11 rebounds. Surprisingly, only 4 rebounds for Sarah Livingston, but she did have a number of assists that I didn't keep tally of, and block shots.
All right, so the Streaks fall 60-38. We'll take our final timeout, come back, and name our day's auto body crunch time player of the game. You're listening to Silver Streak Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
He braves the polar plunge wearing nothing but Speedos. He shovels snow in a Silver Streaks warm-up. He skis with the WGIL button on his goggles. Twitter is too small for his ego. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always button up, but when I do, I prefer the WGIL button. Stay a winner, my friends.
Pick up your orange button today at Galesburg Toyota in front of the Sandburg Mall on North Henderson. Details at WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Back here at Memorial Gym, Knox College, Tom Aerodith and Eric Gibson. Streaks fall to the Morton Potters. 60-38 was the final score. Time for our last order of business. To name our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Dave's Auto Body, you better call Dave's. Well, this was a tough one. Streaks obviously did not play a good basketball game, but, you know, it's, you know, like we said, it's kind of about matchups at times, but really one young lady that basically single-handedly kept the Streaks not totally in, but from being totally out of it early in the basketball game, and the only player in double figures, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, and had some good steals as well.
Yeah, that's Sharon Diggins. She did. She finished with had her at 2 steals, 2 rebounds, and she scored 14 points, only 3 after halftime. But one of the things that really helped was she was personally 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Yeah. And, you know, that's one of those things where when the game is tight, you've got to come in and you've got to do what you can to make things happen. And she did just that. So the Streaks doing just not a whole lot of good things. There was a lot to talk about in this one as far as positive for the Streaks. You know, we talked about Jessica Lieber probably only had two clean shots off. Paige Klink, who had been shooting real well, only 1 of 7 from the field. You know, Sadie was just not in this game at all. She had 2 points, a rebound, and 2 steals. So that is not a Sadie-like night. Even when she's not scoring, she's usually at least pulling down rebounds, getting steals, and she didn't do that in this game either. The Streaks' leading rebounder was a tie between Myra Diggins with 3, and they were all offensive, and Paige Klink with 3, which 1 was offensive. So, you know, just ugly all the way around.
Not a good one for the Streaks here this afternoon. So, but like Coach Massey says, you don't need to go back to the drawing board. You played probably, like you said, their best game of the season on Saturday night. You beat 2 very good teams on Saturday. You beat a good Moline team. So still a pretty good stretch of basketball overall by the Streaks, even though you got 2 losses mixed in there at Alleman and this game.
Well, you just need to keep moving forward. That Alleman game was a bad loss. I wouldn't classify this as a bad loss because this was a very good team. They played their game and their style won out, you know, and it's very possible the officiating's different. They call every ticky-tacky thing, and the Streaks win this one by 20-some. And, you know, that's one of those things. These teams are so good, these two teams, that it's one of those things where you're probably not going to have a whole lot of close games because one team is just going to dominate the other, you know, if you play a 10-game series just about every time. But you know, you look forward, and one of the things you look forward to is the rest of the season. You're playing a lot of home games the rest of the way. You want to finish strong. If you're going to see this team again, it's going to be on your home floor during the sectional.
Right.
So you need to go out. You know, we were talking a little bit about the conference, and the conference is pretty much down, at least at this point, without some major losses going on between Moline, Rocky, and Galesburg. And this is Rocky's schedule the rest of the way. They have 7 games remaining, 2 games at home.
Yeah.
So they're going to be road warriors here if they're going to win the conference. They go to UT this Thursday. They go to Geneseo this Saturday. Mm-hmm. They come to Galesburg the following Thursday. They are at home for Peoria Notre Dame, very good team.
Yep.
They go to Moline. They go to Peoria Central the following Tuesday, and then they follow that up with a Thursday home match to finish the season against Quincy. So, you know, they're going to have to play real well having to go to UT, having to go to Galesburg or come to Galesburg, and then having to go to Moline at Wharton. So
they could realistically end up with 4 conference losses with what they have left.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to win that Quincy game, but they could at Moline, at UT, and at Galesburg, because I fully expect us to win that game at home.
Well, and I don't, I would put the odds on Quincy losing that game,
but I wouldn't
say it's a guarantee,
right,
because of the fact that Rocky's having to play the Tuesday right before that, 2 days before that, against Peoria Central. Peoria Central, that's on February 6th, will have their full squad back.
Yeah.
So if they run the table with Rocky, there might be some confidence issues. Quincy comes in. Quincy's been playing better with Fletcher back. You know, you never know. But, yeah, I mean, realistically, it could come down to that final Thursday of the season for the conference.
You bet. So Streaks just need to take care of their own business. Well, Galesburg High boys are back in action. They lost earlier today to Elmhurst York, 57-37. They'll take on Kankakee. 6 o'clock scheduled tip-off from John Thiel Gym. Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee will have that for you. 5:40 pregame here on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Let's hope Brad and Jim can salvage the day of broadcast. I mean, 2 blowouts so far. Something needs to give here. I know that after listening to not only that game today that you said took an hour, also the game last night in which Galesburg was never really in that game against Minooka, and in fact had gone on several runs where they, or several quarters where they barely scored.
Yeah.
So,
in fact, just one basket in the second half of that game. So that was tough going for the Streaks. Hopefully they'll be able to turn around, and they'll have a shot at doing that tonight against a Kankakee team that's struggled this year
mightily.
Well.
Yeah.
So we'll be back with you again on Thursday night. The Quincy Blue Devils will come to John Thiel Gym. We'll have that game for you, 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock scheduled tip-off right here on WGIL and WGIL.com. Deep breath now.
The good thing is it's over.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And
Coach Massey said, forget about this one.
You're going to have throwaway games. And realistically, you talked right about it, about the fact that last year the Streaks were blown out by Springfield early in the season, still made it to the Elite Eight. So there's nothing saying that this is a lost cause with the fact that the Streaks weren't able to pull off a W here today, or in fact got blown out. It shows the true strength of a team if you're able to come back now and play a strong ball game against Quincy. You don't don't want to let this one linger, which it definitely would have the possibility if you let it. So Coach Massey was right on. You got to forget about it. You've got to come back out on Thursday and play tough against that Quincy team. And you're back at Thiel, which it's a nice. We've talked about nice playing on the college floor, but let's be honest, the Streaks have just been lights out at Thiel this year, and that might be what they need is some home cooking to get this thing back turned around. And you know, it's not like they're reeling. They won both games yesterday against two state-ranked teams. So,
I think it just feels worth that initial sting losing so badly. But
exactly. And the other thing, if you look at it, you know, I'm sure there'll be people with the AP that are like, wow, Galesburg got blown out by Morton. Yeah. But, you know, how many of those other teams are playing state-ranked schedules?
Yeah.
You know, and
three in a weekend.
Right. You know, that's unheard of. And I can't remember that since I've been here because, you know, you don't always plan. I'm sure Coach Massey didn't go in when he scheduled this putting together saying, each of these three teams are
going to be state-ranked. But he knew they were going to be good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's why you invited them, because they were going to be good. You didn't know they were all going to be top tens.
You bet. You bet. All right. Well, the Streaks fall. It was a tough one for them here this afternoon. 60-38 was the final score. That's going to wrap things up here from Memorial Gym. Thanks to our studio engineer, Brian Prescott. For Eric Gibson, I'm Tom Arrota saying good afternoon from Knox College.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Girls Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.